You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
NYYST. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Yep. Swinging for the fences, knock it out the park. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Woo. Christian and Chris, of course, SGR. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Call me New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Record, rain, or shine. Grab your shades and umbrellas. NYYST, you're hanging with the fellas.
Welcome back. This is episode 292 of the NYYST podcast. We're live on NYY News TV. I am your host, Christian, and this week joined by the Don of the trade deadline, Pete Simonetti from the Designated Spitters, the Don of NYY News TV. Pete, what's up, bro?
That's what they call me. I don't believe it. But yeah, man, I am doing great. Not so good today after Gerrit Cole got his ass spanked around Yankee Stadium. But, you know, we're going to talk about it, I'm sure.
We just wanted to all the fans of the NYYST podcast. There was no show last week. I was on vacation, and then, you know, Chris got tied up. So, and then he went on vacation. Then we decided that we were going to push this week's show to Wednesday. We wanted to be clear to trade deadline so we could break it all down. So thanks to Pete for joining me. So I don't have, you don't have to listen to me by myself for the next hour.
Nah, we can scream together. It's going to be nice. You know, my voice is almost gone. I told you earlier, fuck it. Let's just lose the voice and let's go for it. The hell with it.
I don't know if mine's going to hold up. I had a bad cold, sinus infection, whatever the hell it was 2 weeks ago. And like, I still got that like lingering cough shit. So I don't know, man. when I start getting riled up, if my shit's going to hold up. But yeah, there's a lot to talk about. You know, I guess namely, I want to get to the trade deadline stuff. But I think because this is the number one story today, is that we have to get to Gerrit Cole. And I mean,
this guy's going to kill me, I'm telling you. Gerrit Cole, man.
And look, everybody knows I'm the Gerrit Cole guy, right? Everybody knows that. Yeah. I don't hide it. But
you're the apologist. You always say it.
I don't want to say that I'm done with him, right? Because this is part of the reason why I have such affinity for Gerrit Cole is because of what he represents to this team. The Yankees are not winning the World Series with a Gerrit Cole that gives up six runs in the first inning.
That's
impossible for them to overcome.
That's right.
So I need, even if it's false hope, even if it's stupidity, I need to hold on to that. But I'm done. I'm done coming on here trying to look for silver linings and defending him. His couple starts ago when he threw at Devers, man, I got so excited for that.
Me too.
Instead of like, you know, just being like, no, you still fucked up because you're throwing a cement mixer to Jeter Downs, like literally the only pitch that he could hit out of the ballpark. I was just happy that he struck out 13 guys or whatever it was and threw it. And I'm done. Like, now it comes to the point here with him where he's got to show me that he's worthy of all this hope that I fucking put on him.
Definitely.
You take the mound today, right? And I didn't get home until like the seventh inning. The game was over by then.
Right.
But you take the mound today, and before anybody can even settle in, it was around probably after 1 o'clock, so maybe a lot of people were taking their lunches at a time. Before you even take a fucking bite of your sandwich, right?
They're down.
This guy's, he's already down 4-0.
I mean, you know, another thing too, and I'm not putting blame on anybody else. Can we just have fucking Trevino out there starting? I mean, I'm so sick, and I know this is a different topic, but the first inning, I'm watching his game, and I'm calling the game live, and a lot of you guys are in here that was with me today. And one of the things I kept saying was, throw the fastball. What are you doing? It's obvious. It's as clear as day. You don't have the breaking stuff right now. You got to go with your best pitch. And he's throwing shots right down the cock. They're not even breaking, nothing. Killing the ball left and right. And I'm ripping my hair on my head watching this.
Well, I've been screaming about him throwing his fastball for, I feel like, a fucking month now. I don't understand for the life of me what a guy with the fastball that he has.
One of the best in baseball.
He shies away from it. He could defeat guys just with that fastball.
Yep.
But he just – and here's what really pisses me off about him, right? I needed to listen to his cockamamie bullshit to why he sucked today. I needed to hear it.
I would love to hear it. What did he say?
Pete, as soon as he mentioned the words fucking pitch selection, I shut the video off. You are...
He's the ace. What do you call him? You
are the ace of the fucking team.
I said the same thing.
The Yankees didn't pay you $324 million to let you get walked around by your dick by fucking Kyle Higashioka, who is a minor leaguer, okay?
Yeah, that's right.
No disrespect to Kyle Higashioka, who I'm sure is a nice guy. Probably is such a sweetheart of a guy, would give you the fucking shirt off his fucking back if you ask for it. He does not belong in the major leagues. And I'm not fucking speaking out of turn or being hyperbolic about that. He is a terrible major league baseball player, okay? Yep. It's a fucking fact. And the things that he did good that everybody was so excited about last year, framing and this and that, and all, he sucks at it this year.
He sucks at it, yep.
So if you're Gerrit Cole and you have no conviction in the fucking pitch that this jackoff is fucking calling, why are you throwing it?
No, for him to blame pitch selection, you got fucking balls on you, to be honest. Because look, you already said it. Gerrit, this is quite simple. You get paid $36 million to be the man. It's that simple. Ric Flair just had his last match, right? To be the man, you got to beat the man. Don't beat yourself because you are the man in this team. You are the ace. There's nobody that should be sitting there telling you, oh, okay, I'm uncomfortable throwing this pitch here, but I have to do it because of pitch selection. Bull fucking shit. Bullshit. And Christian, I want to get you a little more hype here. These are some stats from Scott Wright. Scott Wright was in our chat. He gave these earlier. Told him I want to save it and I want to talk about it. Over Cole's last seven starts, including today, and I think this was with the six earned runs, his ERA is 5.31.
I believe it.
Over his last 15, it's 4.01. Any way you slice it, he has not been an ace.
No, he has not. I mean, to be fair and to have credibility, you cannot sit here and tell me that he's acted like... And when we... Our last show that I did with Chris before we both went on vacation is we gave our midseason report cards. And I gave Gerrit Cole a B+. I thought he deserved it because I thought he pitched well enough to deserve that grade, but not well enough to be put at an A level.
So are you giving Chris his props here? Is Chris right?
No, Chris is not right. Chris is never right, okay? I think Chris was a little too – down on him, and I was a little too high on him.
Well, I mean, I gave him a B myself. I think I gave him a B+, to be fair.
And I said to – when we were arguing about it, I said – I gave Gerrit Cole the plus on the. It was probably a B. I gave him the plus because it came right after the Devers game when he threw at him. So yeah. I felt like that he kind of overcame something there, something that we needed to see out of him. But there's still, you know, I still didn't feel great about his season, you know. And there's one thing that I'm not going to be in. I'm not going to be a fucking bootlicker. Like, I'm not going to come on this show and not speak honestly about things, no matter how much I love somebody, no matter how much that, like, I'll tout this guy or defend him, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like it's all okay, because it's not.
Correct. I agree. And that's who we are here.
This guy has major fucking issues that he needs to overcome. And the Yankees are not going to – this is not like a situation where Jameson Taillon fucking sucks. He's just fucking terrible. But the Yankees can overcome him being bad.
Yeah,
the Yankees don't need Jameson Taillon to pitch like a fucking world.
Well, they don't even need him to pitch in the postseason, to be fair.
They don't need – that's right.
Cole, they need.
Gerrit Cole is a guy that if he is not If he's a B plus in the postseason, I don't even know if the Yankees can survive that. Yeah. He needs to pitch like an ace and just dominate guys, right? And yep. He had one bad inning today, and then he retired 13 out of 15 guys. Who the fuck cares? That means like I went on a fucking shooting spree last week, but I didn't kill anybody in the last 2 days, so I'm a good guy now. No, you still fucking fucked up. Like, you fucked up, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you don't. Yeah. I don't understand it for the life of me. The people are like, well, he had one bad inning. He gave up six fucking runs.
What does that mean? Like, that doesn't. What does that do to the box score? Does that say he pitched a good game? I mean, I don't get it. And I think was it Boone or somebody said it? Maybe Michael. I think Michael Kay said it. Somebody was telling me after the game that he said, well, he kept them. He gave the Yankees offense a chance to come back. That is bullshit. That's still fucking bullshit, man. Come on. He's your ace. He's given up six runs. I don't want to hear it. Six runs in the first. Honestly, I don't give a fuck if you pitch the rest of the game. Eight shutout innings. You're still a dirtbag in my book. You didn't fucking do shit for us.
He could have given up those six runs and then went and got the next 27 outs on
nothing.
On fucking 54 pitches, I believe it is. All strikes out the next 27 guys, has a historic performance in that sense. But the fact you gave up six runs, you ruined the whole fucking game.
Correct. Exactly. Exactly. There's no looking around it.
Did he get an out before he gave up the fourth run? Or
no.
It was back to back, right?
No, he started the game with a single, a walk, a 3-run home run, another home run. That made it 4-0. And then Kalenic, who I think was the number 8 hitter, I believe. There was two outs, I think, then. And he gave up a 2-run home run to him. By the way, 120-something, he throws him the worst changeup you'll ever see in your life. Doesn't decide to throw him heat. Which I'm sitting there screaming, fastball, fastball, fastball. The worst changeup ever to got belted out the right. And he's looking around like, how did this happen? Asshole, look what you just threw. Are you out your mind? Like, but you're right, and I'm happy you brought that point up. At the end of the day, Tyone could hide. We can go out there and trade a Montgomery and be like, if the postseason started, you're probably not going to pitch him. Right or wrong, however you want to see it, we're going to talk about that, I'm sure. But for Gerrit Cole, you can't hide Gerrit Cole. I had somebody in the chat today say, put him in a bullpen. Are you nuts? You can't hide Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole has to start.
Wait. Whoever, I don't have the chat in front of me, so I don't know who said it.
No, it wasn't here. It was during game season.
Okay, because I need to have that explained to me, how you think you're going to go through the fucking postseason with Gerrit Cole in the bullpen.
Yeah, there's no point. Like, it's ridiculous. It's an absolute ridiculous statement.
But, look, at the end of the day here, there's something that is not computing with him. I don't think it's a lack of talent, Pete. I think he has it.
No, of course he has a talent. There's no denying that.
I think this guy, on any given day, can go out there and show you why he got this fucking contract
from
the Yankees.
Of course.
I don't know, and I don't think this is on, and we'll talk about Joey Gallo later, of course, but I don't think this is on a Joey Gallo level. I don't think this is on a fucking Sonny Gray level.
No,
but
no way.
I think on some level here, he is not, his mental makeup is not what it needs to be. Like, I sat here, I don't know if I was with you or with Chris, like, get me in a fucking room with this guy for 10 minutes. Let me fucking talk to this guy. Like, I'm not no sports psychologist. I might be the guy's biggest fucking fan, and I'll fucking tell him, like, bro, you're Gerrit Cole, bro. Like, listen, like, trust what got you here.
Yeah.
Carl Gascioka didn't get you fucking $324 million.
For him to say that is fucking is batshit crazy. I'm sorry. Because I know if I'm a reporter, I'm looking at him and be like, so hold on, Higgy's calling the game? You're not leading that charge? That's my concern. I'm like, what's going on here?
And I know throughout the history of baseball, there's been plenty of guys, top-level guys, that don't want to think for themselves on the mound.
Right.
They just want the pitch called and go with it. But if you're going to go out there an hour, you know, 20 minutes, whatever it was, after the game is over and question pitch selection, you know, stand up on the fucking mound and be like, I'm not fucking throwing this.
Yeah, you might want to speak up, or you might want to, you know, call your catcher out there and go, hey, look, I don't have this and this right now. We got to figure something else out. But
and it's not
he hasn't done that.
It's not an excuse by any stretch of the imagination. Because he gets none. From me, he gets none anymore.
Yeah.
After today, he gets no more excuses. go out there and fucking prove it to me now, okay?
Yep.
But I for the life of me, I can't stand that the Yankees went back to pairing him with Higashioka. I can't deal with it. Like, what are they seeing that they think this is a good idea? And I understand Trevino played back-to-back days. Higashioka should have started last night. This way, you're not gonna start Trevino day game after a night game.
Right.
So he's got to get two games in his series. Pair him with fucking Cole on the day game.
Yep.
We saw that, and I don't know how much it changed afterwards, but we saw the ERA is almost it's more than double. It's almost triple Trevino compared to Higashioka. Yeah. You know, the Yankees are so analytically driven. They live and die by these numbers. You don't fucking see this. And again, Gerrit Cole should be able to pitch to anybody. I could go back there and fucking call a game for Gerrit Cole and should be able to throw a fucking winning ball game. So he doesn't, it's not an excuse, but at the same point, why are you not doing everything in your power to make sure this is the game you win?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to cut you off. I just want to finish this point. When I saw it this afternoon, I'm like, are you fucking joking?
Oh, that was a joke. I said the same thing. I mean, it's disgraceful. For the idea for your ace being out there, it's another team's ace. And you keep Judge out the lineup. You got a horrible, horrible lineup overall. That's the route that you take. And he does this a lot with Cole, too. I don't know if you noticed this. I've noticed this. There's always somebody resting when Cole's pitching.
Why is that not the game when you see Cole coming up in a series, right? Why is that not the game when you circle and go, I got to win this game. My best lineup goes on the field that day. Well, I don't care if it
You might also be facing the Mariners in the postseason. So fuck them. I want my best guys against Castillo. I want to damage this guy's head a little bit.
I don't care if it was David Wells when he was the Yankee ace. I don't care if it was David Cone when he was the Yankee ace. I don't care if it was fucking CeCe or Hideki. Hideki Matsui. Masahiro Tanaka. I don't care who it was at that time was considered the Yankee ace. When that guy takes the fucking ball, your best lineup needs to be on the field that day.
No
that's
doubt.
Gotta be that's
no
gotta be the
it.
Game that you do everything to win.
Correct. No doubt.
And Aaron Judge gets a day off when he's been DH in half the fucking time. If there's something wrong with him, fucking tell us then.
Yeah. And guys, by the way, we got 120 in here, so blow that like button. Let's hit well over 100. We got 37 likes right now. Smash the shit out. Hit that like button the way the Mariners hit Cole in the first inning. That's what we need to do.
And I get it. Like it's like a double-edged sword, right? Like your best pitcher is pitching. Like you should feel like you can go with your B lineup because. Yeah. But at the same time, like why are you not doing everything in your power to win this fucking game? Especially after last night, Tyone sucks. They get close, they tie it, and then, you know, they ultimately lose. They have the bases loaded in the ninth inning. They don't get it done. You know, go for the series win. Like, I'm not nervous about them blowing this division. Like, I'm not. I think 10 games. I mean, at this point, I mean, we got, 5 weeks left in the – not 5 weeks. We got, like, 7 weeks left in the season. Like, you should not blow a 10-game lead in that amount of time.
The American League's not that good. The American League's not that good.
But at the same time, like, you shouldn't let Toronto feel like they might have a shot at this. When it starts getting down to single digits, they say thanks to the Rays for beating them today, but, you know, you should not be giving teams hope.
You've
been a 500 team. You should not have been a 500 team for the past 5 weeks. You have a chance to beat another playoff contender in your building.
Yep.
And you put that out of that fucking shit lineup today. And I'm not saying that's the reason why the Yankees lost today, but at the same point, like it's just like one domino has fallen as to why this game is just going to be a fucking disaster today.
Yep.
And Luis Castillo shut them down when they had Judge and Stanton in the lineup. I mean, like,
yeah. And you know, I saw somebody earlier, like Luis Castillo got hit too. Luis Castillo gave up a hanging. He was done. You could tell he was done in that game. I was even saying, I was like, all right, he's going to be out. He's not coming out. He brought him back and he threw a hanger and what's his name? Higgy hit a two-run home run. I mean, he was done. Other than that, the guy just cruised through the Yankees lineup. It was a joke. He cruised through him. It wasn't tough. It wasn't difficult. You can tell. I mean, he was eating the Yankees up that whole lineup. It wasn't like they got multiple hits off him. He was walking guys left and right. It was cruise control for him. And he was tired at the end in the hunger pitch. And credit to Higgy, he hit it. But you know, at the end of the day, you can't have your ace on the mound and you go out there 6-0. I don't care what happens. People want to say, well, the offense got to do something. Look, at the end of the day, that game should have been a pitcher's duel. which is what I was expecting. And it should have been a tight game, and it should have been a playoff style game. And what do we got? We got an absolute blowout. We got a blowout. We got Cole shitting the bed yet again. And that's my concern. Look, I'm not going to sit here and jump up and down because I also said the Yankees wouldn't win the division. But in the postseason, I mean, in the offseason, I said I just have it. Look, there's something about Cole that worries me. I can't pinpoint it. I don't think it's spider attack. I'm just concerned about the mental aspect of this guy pitching in New York and defeating the teams that the Yankees need him to defeat. And I said, my prediction is that he will not be an ace this year. And so far, he hasn't been. He just hasn't been. I got serious concerns about Cole, and I still do. And I love the guy. I was begging Gerrit Cole to be a Yankee for years. I wanted Cole in the Yankees. But I really do have concerns about the mental makeup of this guy pitching in big postseason games. He doesn't have that Roger Clemens, that Pedro Martinez in him, where they just get dialed in and that's it. He doesn't have that. He's a mental midget. He starts pouting on the mound and he doesn't get a call and forget it. He's a completely different guy. Can't do that in New York, especially in the postseason. It's not going to work.
He's going into this postseason. He's going to have he's going to have one of his worst seasons of his career.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, definitely since he's become, you know, with Houston, no doubt about it, it's one of his worst. I mean, his ERA right now is what, over 350, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's around there somewhere.
And I remember you said it. You said it during the offseason, I think it was, where you were like, Gerrit Cole has to have under a 3 ERA for the Yankees to win. For the Yankees to go all the way, he's going to have to be an ace. It's the only chance they got.
Yeah, I mean, they can't – we keep saying it, and it's true, because they can't survive him being bad in the postseason. You know, I think all things being equal, the Yankees can get into the ALCS pretty easily.
Right.
You know, he matches – you know, if you're able to set your rotation, he matches up with Justin Verlander in game one and gives up fucking 4 runs in the first inning. You think the Yankees are winning that game?
No.
You think the Yankees have a what does that do to the odds of this series if Gerrit Cole fucking shits the bed in game one of the ALCS?
Bro,
they might get in a situation like that. I don't mean to be dramatic. The Yankees could probably get fucking swept in a situation like that.
Of course. Of course. You look, your ace sets the tone. I mean, come on. This is not some new baseball concept. Your ace sets the tone. He's supposed to be the guy that all the other pitchers play off of.
I mean, if he gets outdueled by Verlander,
that's a different story.
He gives up 1 run over 7 and Verlander goes shuts right. him out over 7. That's a different story.
That's a different story.
You can lose a game like that and people will still rip him for giving up the run. But, you know, at the same time, like to me, you go 1 over 7, 10 plus Ks in a postseason game. That's doing your job.
No, you did your job 100%. Then you do have to look at the offense and go, well, look, you guys got to figure out a way to get a run across. But you couldn't blame Cole on something like that. And look, that's the best case scenario is that Cole gets hot near deadline and he just not near deadline excuse me near the end of the season and he just cruises, because look, we're all Yankee fans here. We just aren't overly biased and just the bullshit to bullshit because we want the Yankees to win. Of course we want the Yankees to win, but it's just the harsh reality of it, especially with the Yankees not getting a Rodon or even a Lopez, which I wanted Rodon so much more, just because I feel like that 1-2 punch with Cole, having that type of guy's bulldog personality is, you know, people talk about that a lot. And Christian, I know you've spoke about it before. Maybe, you know, Cole needs somebody else with him. It just feels that way at this point. It just feels that way. He needs somebody else to play off of. He can't be that one guy. And it's concerning because, you know, we've seen it with Justin Verlander where it seems like there was a good pair there and they were able to, you know, kind of, maybe the mental aspect of it, Cole gets help with that.
Yeah, but he wasn't Batman in Houston.
Right, exactly. Oh, correct. That's right. He wasn't the guy. It was always Verlander. You know,
and then, so, I mean, you know, you hate to say it, but, you know, no matter how bad Gerrit Cole and hopefully it doesn't happen, but no matter how bad this might get, it was always the right move to sign this guy.
No question.
You can't.
You had to.
You know what? I'm sorry to say, you're a fucking jerk off if you're tweeting, I never wanted Gerrit Cole in the first place. You're
come a fucking on. Nobody was saying that.
You're saying that in 2022 after he had a bad wild card game and he's been pretty terrible for what he's supposed to be this year.
Right.
If the Yankee, this is the one guy in the last 10 years the Yankees dropped their pants for. Okay.
Yeah.
You had to do it. Okay. It's almost like the. He was brought here to be the ace, win World Series, but it almost doesn't matter to a degree what the results are. You had to go and get this guy.
No question.
And for 3 years, it's, you know, when they signed him, around Christmas time, 2019, going on 3 years later to say, oh, I never won. You're a liar. Like, it's like when DJ LeMay, you had a terrible season last year, and people were like, I said I wouldn't fucking. You're bullshit.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here. Come on, man.
It's bullshit. You're like, you would have had a fucking aneurysm if DJ LeMay signed with Toronto.
I mean, we could talk about whatever. It doesn't matter. But I'm just sitting here thinking about DJ LeMay's season. I'm looking at all his numbers, and this is about a week ago, maybe longer than that, before he even started getting really hot. And I'm sitting there saying, you guys know the amount of money that DJ got. He's earning that already this year. Like, if you really look at the contract and the production he's doing, through 820 OPS, having a way better season than last year, great defense anywhere you put the guy. Yeah, there's nobody that should be saying, you know, oh, this is a bad move. And anybody, I'll just say it right now, anybody who's saying that they should have never signed Gerrit Cole right now this year, go look yourself in the mirror and call yourself a fucking bitch. Because that's what you are. No, really. You are. Because let's be fucking honest here. There was not one Yankee fan before Cole signed saying, nah, $36 million is too much. You could spend that elsewhere. We don't need him. There's nobody that said that. As Christian said, that's the first time Steinbrenner sat back, the new young Steinbrenner, I call him, little Stein, sat back and said, no, pony up. Let's get this guy. We need him. And everybody thought it's the right move. So look, if Cole fucks up and he's not good and he doesn't ever get the job done, I am not going to sit here and go, you know what? Fuck Cashman, fuck Steinbrenner, that's their problem. No, it was the right move to make. It's that simple. Don't give me that bullshit that maybe they get rid of him or, oh, he's not good. They should have never signed him. Nah, bullshit. What they should have done, which I think we can make an argument for, is build around him on the rotation even more.
Oh, there you go.
That's what they should have done, but they haven't completely done that. They started it, and I think they had the mindset to finish it, but it didn't go the way they wanted. But, you know, that they should have done. But saying anything bad about Gerrit Cole, you know, you could talk about when it comes to the contract and signing him, fuck off.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have anything else to add to that. Because it's factual, man. Like, everybody that's on social media is like, oh, the Yankees are cheap to never. Imagine if they didn't go and they let Gerrit Cole walk over $2 million. You know, how would feel about that?
Yeah, no. Come on now.
So
there's a part of being a fan. There's a part of being a fan. And there's also a part of being phony. And that's why I love the team that we got here, because we save real talk for the real fan. We're going to tell you the truth, but I'll sit here and shit on Gerrit Cole all day. But if somebody comes to me and goes, they shouldn't sign him, I'll be like, yeah, bullshit. Yeah, they should have. It's that simple. We could sit here all day and talk about how bad Cole has been and he shit the bed in big moments. If I went back right now, I'm still signing Cole, no doubt about it. The only thing that upsets me, again, is like I said before, is building around Gerrit Cole. They could have done a better job at that, at a 1A, a 1B, and really push forward hard and go for this thing. But you can't also depend just on one pitcher. That's another thing, too. You can't just say, you know, you're always going to dominate, because that's not going to happen. But Gerrit Cole has to be way better than he's been.
Right. And we came into the season saying this. It was Gerrit Cole and 4 question marks. Well, now Gerrit Cole is a question mark. So you have nothing really behind him. And that's not even being disrespectful to Nestor Cortes, who's had that little bit of a dip, but I think he's come out of it and he's righted himself again. He's readjusted and he's been pretty good his last few starts. But we still don't know how far the Yankees are going to push him, when he's going to hit a fucking brick wall. He's never pitched 100 innings at the major league level. You know, And I want to get into this before we get into the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Luis Severino can fucking shut the fuck up, okay? I don't know how you feel about it, but he can shut his fucking mouth, all right?
I'm right there with you. I really don't. Yeah. Look, I don't. I'm right there with you on that.
He acted like a fucking little baby the other night. He didn't even want to look at the calendar when they were trying to explain to him when he could come back. Listen, bro, you have not pitched in 4 fucking years, okay? That's just a fucking fact. Like, go look at it. The guy hasn't pitched in the major league since 2018. Hey, he had a cup of coffee last year. Whoop-de-fucking-do, okay?
Yeah, 6 innings.
You know, you want to talk about 1A, you know, Batman to Robin. This is supposed to be the fucking guy. He can't stand the goddamn field.
Yeah, no, that's true. And that was my concern. That was one of the red flags I had was, I mean, is anybody expecting 20-plus starts from Gerrit Cole? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't give you 10.
You mean Seve?
Seve, yeah, Severino. I mean, that's my thing. Like, who the hell really knows what he was going to give you? And, I think, you know, complaining about being injured because you want to be back on the field, that's cute. That's cute and all, but bro, you're injured. You always are. The team's gonna take a precaution with you. I had no problem when I saw it. I'm like, all right, September. Okay, that makes more sense. Give him as much time as you need. The team's comfortable where they are. I don't blame you. I don't blame him. I don't blame him. But yeah, he sounds like a little fucking whining crybaby.
I don't know when we talked about it. Maybe when we were doing over-unders, I'm not really sure. Or it came up, innings pitched or starts or something.
Yeah.
And I said about Luis Severino, like, I'll sign for fucking 10 starts right now. If that's all he gives me, I'll take it because I haven't even gotten that many innings, 10 right. innings in the last yep. 4 years. So if this guy gives me 10 starts, it's a fucking win.
Yep.
Dude, he's got no leg to stand on now. He's fucking crying. And people are, you know, the beat writers are like, he's mad. He's mad. Fuck him. He's mad. I'm mad. This guy hasn't fucking pitched in 4 years. And he's supposedly healthy and he's hurt again.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're 100%.
You're on the fucking IL, right? You're on the goddamn IL again. Whose fault is it that the Yankees decided that they were going to use your 40-man spot for all the guys they fucking traded? Yeah. Your fault.
Yep. You're right. And my thing with Seve, too, is, you know, do you even trust Severino starting a game when he comes back? Because, or is he more valuable to just throw in a bullpen? To say, no. Hey, a big situation here, bases loaded. We know you could rear back and get these guys out. Do I really trust you even going multiple innings anymore? I don't know if they could. I don't know if they can do that.
One of the times you joined me on this show, we talked about this. You said that Seve had to be in the postseason rotation. And I agreed with you because I thought his stuff was that electric when he's on. Now you get 6 or 7 innings on him in the fucking postseason. I mean, it's ridiculous. But the more and more I sat there and I thought about it, and now we hit this point where he's hurt again.
Yeah, now you're questioning. Now you're like, you know what? What do you do with him?
What's more, I mean, can you trust him to give you 3 or 4, even 3 or 4 innings in a start? Is he more valuable?
Would you want that? And that's the thing. You know, you got to think strategy now. Would you even want that at this point?
Or is it more valuable to use him in maybe a middle inning situation where he comes in the fifth to come out when you need a strikeout?
Exactly.
And maybe he can do that 2 or 3 times in a series.
That's what I like for him, to be honest. I know it's probably more valuable to have him as a starter. But I think what we just said, are you going to get 5 out of him? Are you going to get 6? I don't think so.
And now here's the point. Now it's almost like, okay, I want him a starter. I want him bullpen. Now it's almost like, do I need him to be a starter again? Because we can start talking about the trade deadline stuff here now. We'll break down all the trades the Yankees made. But I think we need to start with the last thing that they did and how much it kind of like put almost a black cloud over the moves that the Yankees had made.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm going to toot your fucking horn, bro. You don't have to do it. You told us this shit at fucking 1 o'clock in the afternoon that the Yankees were trading fucking Jordan Montgomery for Harrison Bader, okay? So anybody that thinks they had it first, this fucking guy had it first, okay?
I did.
And then, yeah, he did. And Pete also knew that fucking Peraza wasn't going for Montas. So, you know, you were on your game, bro. That's why this is the channel that you need to be on at all times. You know, this is where you're going to get it. You're going to get the factual information and you're going to get real takes here. So...
Yeah, that's what it's all about, man. But yeah, the I mean, I'll let you go into where you want to start for the deadline.
So Monty goes, right? I think we're all in agreement here that he went because Brian Cashman had his finger on something else.
Yes. And again, just to rephrase so everybody knows, in the morning when I put that tweet out and I told you guys about it, I was even shocked by it because the same person I get information I haven't heard from basically almost all year. And I got it with the Montas deal. But the morning, I forgot what it was. I was doing something that morning. I think I was working out to get ready for the thing. I worked out. I was getting ready to go take a shower. And I saw it on my phone. I literally said, get the fuck out of here. There's no fucking way. I said, this is really ballsy. But the thing was, they were going to get Rodon or Lopez. And I'm sitting there saying, well, my understanding was they were more aggressive on Rodon during that time. That's what they were gunning for. For them not to do it, there's no doubt about it. And I got a little more in that today of what happened. They had a deal in place, they believe, for Lopez. Basically, what happened was, per my understanding, the Giants were being dicks about this. They wanted complete full value, as I think John Heyman was reporting, which is correct. They wanted Glaber and Everson Pierre. Yankees said, either take that or we go. We'll give both of those. They wanted more. And the Yankees said, well, we'll just take it off the table. We're not doing it. They offered the same. I would have done it. I mean,
I personally think that's a lot for basically a rental.
It is a lot. I mean, he's 2 months. And look.
Because he's got an opt-out. He's going to take it.
He's going to take it. He's having one of the best years of his career. He's one of the most dominating pitchers in baseball. There's no denying it. He is literally one of the most dominating pitchers in baseball. He has the personality that this team craves and they need. But when you offer something like that for a guy for 2 months, I don't blame Brian Cashman.
Look, I'm going to rip Brian Cashman in a few minutes when we talk about the starting pitching moves that he did make, but I can't get on him. If they were a Pereira, however you say his name,
yes.
Everson, right? Yeah. Yeah. And Gleyber Torres for a fucking rental.
They wanted more. They wanted an additional top prospect. And
not for nothing. Like, this is why I wasn't a big fan of Rodon in the offseason, is because he's another injured guy. How many innings were we going to get out of him? Okay.
Yep.
So I knew the stuff. I knew how good he could be, but you were just adding it on to Tyone and fucking Severino and Nestor Cortez, guys that you don't know what innings you're going to get out of them. So, you know, if you're going that route, you know, if he had that second year guaranteed, I could see maybe Brian Cashman saying, okay, I'll play this game with you. But the guy's going to walk. You're going to give him Gleyber Torres, who I think the Yankees should trade. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes.
No question about
But you're going to give him up and Pereira for a guy that's going to walk out the door in 2 months.
Yeah.
I don't blame Brian. That's not fucking Justin Verlander. That's not Max Scherzer, bro. Right. Like, there's certain guys that you could justify doing that for. I know how great Rodon could be. You back him up, especially after they got Montas, Cole, and Rodon. You know, you could fuck with that 1-2-3 in October, you know? And, you know, Nestor as a 4 or whoever.
Yeah.
But if they wanted more than that, I don't blame Brian Cashman for walking away from that.
And then basically that was discussed earlier in the morning. Per my understanding, that's when they then flipped to Lopez and he offered the same thing. And the understanding thing was the understanding that from what I'm told and what I heard, and I think some other people probably put this out there now, was that the foundation for a deal for Lopez was in place. When the deal for Monty was done in the morning, they just didn't, you know, pull it off. That deal was done. They had that deal in place. It was ready to go. When it came to Lopez, they thought it was going to take maybe one or two low guys, not a top-end guy, a top prospect. When they went back to it, it was shelved because they wanted an additional top prospect to go along with the two. And the Yankees wouldn't do it, and they walked away from it. And they felt comfortable still with the rotation was. But as Michael Kay said today, I think it was Michael Kay or maybe somebody else, they mentioned that, no, maybe I think it was somebody else I was listening to, not Michael Kay, that execs were very confused by the deal. Other people in the organization were very surprised that the Yankees went that route. So,
trading, you know, Monty?
Trading Monty and not actually securing a pitcher in advance.
See, that's what I wanted to ask you. Are you, if you're Cashman,
you would think you would get the guy first and then move Monty.
Right. So, I mean, See, because the Monty deal came in the 5 – they announced it in the 5 o'clock hour.
Yes, 20 minutes before the deadline.
So we record, and if you're saying I'll take you, you know, I believe you, you had everything else. So you said this was done in the morning. I was almost saying to myself, if you're at that point now where you know Lopez, the Miami and San Francisco aren't playing ball with you, why are you, you know, you're not pulling the deal back for Montgomery? Why did you still make the deal?
Yeah. I don't know. It's odd, and we don't know really what goes on behind the scenes. We don't know if, you know, the Marlins had a late change of mind. We don't really know. Maybe they felt something was in place, and you know, I know what everybody's saying. Maybe you should make the deal beforehand. I agree, but again, unfortunately, we don't get to see that stuff and what really happened there. What the reason was that they felt you could just move on from Monty right now. And I'm a fan of Harrison Bader. I like him.
But he's,
it's,
I mean,
odd. Yeah, it is odd.
He will be okay. Hopefully, you know, knock on wood, he will be okay. But, you know, you traded a guy that's going to take the ball for you every 5 days for a guy you're not going to see for another month.
I agree. It's tough because the expectation all morning was, and that's when I told you guys, I said they're going to get, you know, they're gunning for Rodon. And, you know, you guys were the same response as me, which is get the fuck out of there. There's no way. I know Francis texted me. He's like, Pete, are you fucking serious? I said, hey, I'm just letting you know what I'm being told. And I was hype as shit, man. And I'll be honest, at about 5:30, it was announced at like 5:40. I'm sitting back going, I haven't heard nothing from nobody anymore. This shit's not going to happen. I'm like, fuck, like they're not going to do anything else. And I really thought they'd add another starter. And then I think Ken Rosenthal announced, and I said, yes, yes. And I told everybody in the chat, I said, Lopez is coming. Lopez is going to, there's no way. And then I'm like, all right, guys, just wait. It could be a little after six. And then, oh, the Yankees are done. No deal for Lopez. And I'm sitting there saying, whoa, that's fucking weird. That's odd. And then remember, too, what people don't want to talk about much, they gave up a fucking lot for Montas. People don't want to kind of want to brush that off. It's like, well, it wasn't Peraza. J.P. Sears helped this team a lot. Waldichuk is their top pitching prospect.
They traded all their pitching depth.
Luis Medina is an animal. Even if he lasted in the bullpen, he's an animal. I saw this guy live. His fastball, 101. You guys don't touch it. Double A. When he's on, Double A is not good enough. I mean, it's just not good enough for him. He's that talented. And the worst case scenario, he's a dominating late inning guy. Bowman, who cares? The Yankees got offensive guys. You don't got to worry about that. But especially infielders. But they gave up quite a bit for Montas too. So I don't think it was that Brian Cashman wasn't trying to make a deal. I think at the end of the day, maybe he overplayed his hand a little bit with the move he was trying to make without securing something in place 100%. I think that could be more of the issue.
I think Lopez is the guy where if they want you to pony up, okay, pony up to where? You want Pereira, Gleyber, okay, what else?
Well, that's what I'm confused about too, because at that point, it's not Peraza. It's obviously not Volpe. So who was it? Was it another top 10 that you wouldn't give up? Because I would 100% give up another top 10.
This guy is a young guy. You're going to have him under team control for two and a half years.
Yeah.
He's a free agent after 24. Yep. So this is the guy that you do pony up for. You know, all right, you're telling me Peraza, Volpe, Dominguez are off the table. Okay, so what was it that you shied away from? You know, if it's Gleyber and Pereira, I'm okay with that. And here's, you know, and I tweeted this when Jack Curry said something during their trade deadline special that the Yankees were taking calls on Gleyber Torres. And I tweeted, the Yankees should trade Gleyber Torres.
No question.
And people were like, why would you do that? You're stupid. No, because here's the thing, right? And this is no, and I like Gleyber Torres. I'm a fan of him. Okay. I'll be honest. I like Gleyber.
I don't dislike him. I don't dislike him either.
I'm a fan of his. But the guy was the drizzling shits the last 2 years. Like he was fucking abysmal. One of the worst everyday players in baseball. And I don't think that's being hyperbolic either in 2020 and 2021. Okay. The guy's now rebuilt some value where he's a competent player. You got people getting butthurt that he wasn't an all-star this year. That's how much better he's been this season.
Right.
But I watch this team just as much as anybody does. I watch as much Yankee baseball as I can physically fucking consume. And I still am not in love with the player that he is. There are still times where his head is so far up his fucking ass, he could give himself a fucking colonoscopy. That's how far his fucking head is up his ass.
Right.
He will never be that guy. And for me, while his value, you might never get Gleyber's value as high as it is right now.
No, you won't. You won't at all. Actually, you won't. So if you can land a starting pitcher for this guy, you do it. And my thing is, and this is just what I want to say about Gleyber Torres, and I think we got our answer regarding the Yankees, and this isn't guaranteed, but I think you can kind of put two and two together. I think the Yankees see Anthony Volpe and Oswald Peraza in their infield. That's what I'm thinking now, because if they didn't move one of those guys, look, it's very easy for the Yankees, right, to sit back and go, we want to keep Volpe. But everybody with a fucking brain, we've all said it. Well, then trade the other fucking guy. I mean, get somebody that helps. They've been refusing to do that for a reason. Gleyber Torres is not going to be re-signed with the Yankees. I'll make this prediction right now, and you guys can mark it on your calendar. Gleyber Torres is not a Yankee next year. Gleyber Torres is going to be traded. There's no doubt in my mind. I wouldn't doubt that trade is revisited in the offseason. Yankees are going to need starting pitchers. Tyone's not coming back. Monty's gone. Right now, the rotation next year will be Cole, Montas, and Nestor. They need starting pitchers. Finally, let's all hope that Clark Schmidt finally just gets a go, and they say, go, start, have fun. I mean, it's about fucking time, to be honest. But I think they look at the Lopez deal again in the offseason, and they end up getting him. But Gleyber Torres, one way or the other, whether it's not that he's traded this offseason, if that's wrong, he's not going to be a Yankee much longer.
And he's not getting a second contract from this team.
No way in hell. No way in hell. And I do believe there's something to it that the Yankees held on to Peraza. They held on to Volpe. My only thing with that is then, can we get to using these guys then? Volpe, get him to AAA and get Peraza up here. I mean, it's about time. Donaldson looks terrible. We know that already. DJ LeMahieu could easily play third base. IKF can move around everywhere. It makes your team better. Get him and Clark Schmidt up. You got your starting pitcher that, look, one thing we say as Yankee fans, and we say this a lot, if you want to build prospects and hold on to these guys, cool, but can we fucking see them? Can you let them play baseball? Can you give them the shot to go out there and play? And for me, I just feel like it's that time for a guy like Clark Schmidt. Let him take over. Let's see if he could be a starter next year. Give him the rest of the year. Let him start. But for Gleyber, in that sense, even when Curry said it, and move him. If you can move him, move him. Let's just say the Yankees didn't have Gleyber Torres today. What's the worst thing that happens? Okay, DJ LeMahieu's the everyday second baseman. No problem. He's better. LeMahieu's better. I don't think anybody will argue that. He's better. And guys, by the way, we got over 200 people in here. We're 30 likes away from 100. You guys got to get us there. But you know what I mean, Christian? I mean, at the end of the day, man, if the Yankees traded Gleyber, I'm not sitting here pouting. I'm saying it's a win-now move. It's a win-now move. And that's, to me, what it would have been. They didn't do it. But eventually, they're going to.
No, I'm not. Look, people were like, well, you traded him. You have to trade him for elite player. No, you don't have to trade him for elite
players. He's not elite himself.
You don't. I mean, you're not trading him for a bag of fucking a bag of Doritos, right? But if he has to be a major piece in a deal for a guy like Pablo Lopez, yeah, he fucking go.
Yeah, no.
I'll pack your bags. I'll pack your bags for you. Go to the airport. I'll have them FedExed over. I'll pay for it out of my own fucking pocket.
Me too. You could go if you got Pablo Lopez on his team. And look, I know people. Some people have the concern. I noticed that, like when the rumor was out there about Lopez, some people had the concern about him, but. Look, guys, a playoff series with Cole Montas Lopez looks a lot cuter and a lot nicer than Cole Montas Nestor. And that's no disrespect to Nestor Cortez. But Lopez could dominate, guys. Lopez could truly dominate.
And Lopez is a move that's not only for this year, it's for the next two years. And correct. I know that you don't and I hate looking ahead, but you just referenced it. There's no starting pitching on this team next year.
No, none.
Where's it coming from?
And there's no real free agents. I mean, if you look at the list of next year, it's a joke.
What, you mean to tell me, oh, Luis Severino's still on the team next year? What is he going to get? I mean,
is he? Like 15? But that's the question. Is he going to be?
No, that's another thing. The Yankees could obviously move him, but let's say that they don't. Over under 15 fucking starts for him next year. That's still half a season.
Yeah.
That he might disappear if you even get that from him.
And they gave up. And another thing, too, I know, you know, Hirsch is in here. He talks about Waldichuk a lot. I did an interview with Eli Fishman. Eli's like, look, this is like, he's very similar to a Cole Hamels, but with better, you know, more stuff. And we'll see how he is. But You know, Oakland will get a shot at some point, but you gave up your top pitching prospect in that deal. And you didn't, and you know, looking in the future, you don't have many pitchers in the sense of who's going to be here at the major league level. He was close. He was right there. So, you know, it was a risky deadline in the sense of the future for the Yankees. I think they were really trying to go out there and win now with it. Scott, thank you for the super chat, man. We appreciate it. But overall, not getting another pitcher definitely put a little bit of a dent in it for me. I still think it's a very, very good deadline. I still think the Yankees got better. I told everybody today I need about a week after it because I got to see if they're going to call guys up. If Clark Schmidt isn't here and they keep going to Domingo Herman, I don't know what this team is looking to win. I don't get it. If they don't get up Peraza, which they probably aren't going to do,
I mean, we could hope for that until the fucking cows come home, but that's not a Yankee move.
It's not. It's not. It doesn't feel like it. But my whole
because
my
what
whole
that
thing
does
is put your best team on the field.
What that does, though, and we all know this shouldn't play into it, but it does. That attacks Brian Cashman's ego.
Correct.
He has to admit that he fucking failed at something.
Yep.
And look, there's other trades that the Yankees made. We'll get into them, obviously, but. Let's revisit the big trade from the offseason. You could say that this trade was worth it to get rid of Gary Sanchez, and you are no longer correct in saying that.
No way.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I agree.
Gary Sanchez,
that trade is a D. It's
Gary Sanchez
D.
had to go. I'm not sitting here, oh, Christian's going to take up. No, Gary Sanchez had to fucking go. Okay. He had to go. It was time. Okay. But the trade is no longer – you can't say the trade was worth it to get rid of it. No, because Josh Donaldson is fucking washed up. If he would have – that was a suspect. I stayed up with you. I was getting ready to go to bed. You texted us in the group that the trade went down, and I stayed up bullshitting with you guys for an hour over it. And I kept saying is this was fucking stupid.
Yeah.
No money. You got no money. You gave fucking 38-year-old – however old he is, 38-year-old Josh Donaldson. You took $50 million in his contract.
And he looks it. And he looks it. He looks like an athlete on his last leg.
If he was a 240 hitter and he's got like 15 to 20 home runs right now and he drove in maybe 60 runs,
different. Yep, it's different.
Fine.
Yep.
The guy looks fucking washed up, finished. Yeah, when we did our report cards 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, the only reason why Josh Donaldson didn't get an F is because he's actually been really good at third base.
He's one of the best defensive third basemen, even by all the little, you know, analytical numbers across the board this year.
If he wasn't as good as he was, he's a complete fucking failure.
No question.
Complete failure.
No question.
And the reason why IKF is a fucking, I don't think I gave him an F. He might be a C- or a D somewhere in there. Actually, I have the paper right here.
I think I gave IKF a D. A C or a C or I don't think I gave him a D plus. I might have, but I think I gave him a C.
Chris was a lot higher on Donaldson than I was. He gave him a C. I gave him a D. But for IKF, Chris gave him a D plus. I gave him a D.
It's defense, right? That's quite simple.
Is heavily weighted based on his defense.
Yep.
But you sold us on this guy being a superstar defensively.
Correct. That's right.
You know, he makes one flashy play and Michael K ejaculates in the fucking booth.
Right.
You know, it's like that. Like, I understand why you're doing that because you're company boy and you have to, and you got to make it seem like IKF is his wizard over there. But he's been fucking terrible. I'll be completely honest with you. When he played in Texas, I didn't fucking pay attention to Isaiah Kiner.
No, nobody did. Who gave a shit about him?
He comes over here. He fucking, that fucking arm motion. When he fucking throws the ball, no wonder it's not a secret why he can't fucking reach first base, why he throws the ball fucking terribly all the time. Look at his motion.
Yeah, complete sidearm garbage, but it's shit. It's absolute shit. Nothing. And the crazy thing about IKF is you really got to wait until the play's over to hold your breath. Some guys like, all right, he'll make the throw. IKF, you got to worry if he catches the ball and makes the throw. I mean, you're terrified. And I keep saying it, man. I'm not comfortable with doing... Dude in the infield when it comes to the postseason. I'm worried about him making a big play and it's going to hurt him.
I must have tweeted it half a dozen times in the last month.
I say it myself.
He's going to cost them a game in October.
It's the same thing I say about Gary. I was like, it's just not worth it, guys. It's not worth it if he's that bad defensively.
He's
not worth
too
it.
He, He's a 270 hitter. Well, great. He is a fucking...
I mean, come on.
Look, you can be a Punch and Judy hitter until... You can be that guy. 270, no pop whatsoever. Use your speed when you get on the bases. But if you are brought here to play stellar defense, that is what you need to do. You could be worse than fucking Joey Gallo at the plate.
Right.
Strike out every time you come up. I'm being sold that you're here to play defense, then play defense.
Yeah. And here's the thing, too, about IKF. You know when the nerds want to make the comparisons of why Joey Gallo's so good? This is when you can actually make that comparison. Because for an example, let's say Oswald Peraza gets called up. Oswald Peraza only tops out at 240. He doesn't hit any better than 240. That's all he is. I will put money on it right now. He's 10 times more productive than IKF is hitting 271. 10 times more productive. Because one, he's faster. He's a way better defender. That's known. I mean, unless Baseball America is the biggest full of shit thing in the world, he's known as the best defensive player the Yankees have in the minor leagues, not just infielder. He hits for power. He's going to hit you more doubles. He's going to hit the ball further. He's going to hit fly balls every now and then a drive runs in. He's going to do all that. So that's when you can make an argument using analytics in the sense of saying, well, his OPS is going to be well over 100 points higher. He's going to be a 750 guy, easy. 770, 780. He's going to be able to do that. Maybe even 800, considering how hot he's been. And there's going to be an adjustment period. But look, you're not losing much when you lose a singles hitter. And it doesn't mean you got to completely get rid of IKF. You can still play him. Peraza also got 26 stolen bags. I mean, very, very fast. And we got a super chat, too, here from Marcel. Says, do you think either Herman or Smith can duplicate or surpass Montgomery's performances? Basically, what he's saying is pitch deeper into games and more consistently and not nibbling too much.
I want to see what Smith can do.
I think Smith could do it. I think Smith is one of the... He's always been touted as a top Yankee pitching prospect, so let's see him do his thing.
Not only is Domingo Herman... Look, there's few things that get me upset in terms of what guys do off the field. Yeah. Like, you'd be a womanizer, you can be a drug addict, you can be a lot of different things, and people are like, you're bad. I don't fuck, but when you hit a woman, especially when you fucking hit her in front of people, so what do you do when you're not in front of other people,
right?
No fucking tolerance for that, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So not only, I don't want him on the team just because of that, like, I don't want to have to root for a guy like that. But, you know, he's on the Yankees. Obviously, I'm not going to root for him to give up a fucking grand slam every time he's out there because I do want to see the team win. But I don't want to be put in a position like that where I got to root for this fucking scumbag. And that's another reason why people are like, well, Chapman's hot again. No, I don't want him on the fucking team either because he chokes women and then fucking shoots a gun in his garage. Why do you want a fucking maniac like that on your team?
Right.
And I know not everybody needs to be a fucking angel and go to church every Sunday and, you know, help old ladies across the street. But don't do that shit.
Right. Yeah, that's taking it to another level. That's taking it to another level when you do shit like that. But
not only
top of that, the performance sucks too. I mean, that's another thing
too. I don't even know if pedestrian is a good is a word for him. He's below being an average major league starter.
Nah, he's a jerk off. He's a jerk off. I mean, that's like Sonny from the Bronx Tale. He's a jerk off kid. But then my friend, he's a jerk off. It's the same fucking thing. Guy's a jerk off.
But you look somewhere. It's one of the things about being a sports fan that you don't like is that you look past some of these things when they're helping your team win.
Right.
But he's not good. Like, he's not good. Like, he comes out.
That's the main thing for me. He's not good. I mean, he's not good. He isn't. I mean, he's just truly. I mean, it really is. He's not fucking good. The guy sucks. He doesn't help us win. On top of being a scumbag, he's not good. So, and I'm not saying that, oh, well, if he was good, do you give it up? Well, the Yankees made a decision. That's not me to make that decision. The Yankees made it.
At least he's made that decision. The Yankees made that decision that they're like, wife beater. Controllable starting pitcher.
Right.
Wife beater. Yeah. Okay.
We'll go with control. We like that. That's better. That's all right. So, I mean, but at the end of the day, I mean, this guy, no way in hell should he be a starter. And that's my concern is that He'll continue to get the ball. Clark Schmidt will stay in AAA. And that's my worry with this team, is that you can still improve. And I talked about this all day today. They can still very much make the team better, even with the deadline being over. Get the right guys up and go for the damn thing. Put your best team on the field. It is that simple. And run with it and see what you do. But I got concerns that they do that. So I guess we're gonna find out.
I mean, I tweeted this earlier. They've been in a rut for about 5 weeks now, 5-6 weeks, whatever it's been, that they've been a 500 team. And that's what that start has afforded them, that they haven't suffered because of it. But they, even with these additions, they're still, you still see them slogging around the last couple of days. And, a lot of that has to do with the starting pitching, but there just feels like there's something around this team that needs a fucking energy boost, right? And it's simple. You call up Peraza. Yep. He's your everyday shortstop. IKF is now your bench utility guy. And bye-bye Marwin Gonzalez. When's the last time anybody's even seen fucking Marwin Gonzalez?
And exactly. And that's my point. And people think it just means that, you want IKF gone. No, it's not. Look, IKF is very valuable to the Yankees as a bench guy. He can play everywhere. So he helps. And remember, he won a Gold Glove at third base, not at shortstop.
Right.
He can play second. He can play third. He can play short. He could catch if you really needed him to. He can do all that stuff, so that's still value. He could spot,
and it gives the Yankees a little bit of versatility,
exactly,
late in the game if they want to start Josh Donaldson, or they want to, or even if they want to, put Glaber in there, but replace Glaber for defense. DJ slides over to second.
Yep.
IKF can play third. You can use them. You can use his speed off the bench late in a game. You pinch. I don't think they probably won't carry Lo Castro in the postseason. You can use IKF in that role.
Correct.
To be a pinch runner. I'm not saying there's no value in having him here, but he's not – for him to be the starting shortstop on a team that is trying to – that is telling you they're trying to win the World Series, he shouldn't be that guy.
That's a great point. That's a great point right there. We're being told that, hey, we're a World Series team, and that's fine. Look, the first half of the season, you played better than everybody. Now you're facing adversity, and I think what it is you got to make adjustments as an organization. And we all knew, look, Brian Cashman came out and said during the offseason, look, Oswald Peraza could start at the major leagues right now. Defensively, I know that. Most scouts and anybody you talk to that sees the guy daily will tell you he'll hit at the major league level. That's not a problem. So my thing is, if we really believe with these guys, and they want us to understand that we're going to go forward. We believe in Volpe. We believe in Peraza. We believe in these guys. We want to move forward with them. Then move forward with them. Peraza doesn't need more time at AAA. He needs to start seeing. He needs his adjustment of 250 at-bats at the major league level. That's usually when you get a read for these guys. Fuck. Poor Floreal in 5 years only got 40 at-bats at the major league level.
Let me ask
you
this question.
So it's not like the Yankees do it, but do it with this guy. You believe in him.
Let me ask you this question, right? They're off tomorrow.
They should be up in St. Louis.
They go to St. Louis, right? Let's say the Yankees call him up. He meets them in St. Louis. They say, okay, you're the everyday shortstop. You get 3 weeks. We'll reevaluate. He completely falls on his fucking face in those 3 weeks, right? How much worse are the Yankees as a team because they tried that experiment?
Not at all. And
you're not losing. That's my point exactly. What are you losing by trying this?
You're not. And that's the Yank. Look. The Yankees got to run the ship. Look, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I am. A lot of the way the Yankees philosophy has been over the years, I know where they're going. They're going more towards what the Dodgers are doing, and I understand that, and it makes sense. But the fucking Dodgers use their prospects. Either they're traded or they call them up and they're playing them. The Yankees got to do a better job of utilizing what they do with who. It's a damn shame that Estevan Floreal has either not been traded or at this fucking point, let the guy just go. I mean, Andujar begging for a trade, the Yankees keep. You can't convince me that somebody didn't want this guy. That's another story, but call these guys up. If you believe in your prospects and you want to use your organization to say either we'll deal these guys for a top talent if they're available. We know we can sign anybody we need to. But another thing is, too, Aaron Judge is going to have to be re-signed. Whatever happens there, we'll find out. But you know that you're going to be adding money to the book soon, even though a lot falls off. It makes so much sense that You can call up young guys like Peraza. You can call up guys like Volpe and go, we're controlling these guys for 6 years. That's our infield right there. That could be the middle of the infield or the left side of the infield for 10, 15 years. What do we know? Worst case scenario could be for six. That's smart. That's what you should be doing. That's what they need to do. So I agree with their philosophy in a sense. But use these guys. IKF is not your future. Was IKF ever meant to be the future? No. So guess what? He did a decent job. Let him be what he is to the Yankees, a utility guy. Simple.
Yeah, I mean, that trade is good.
It's a terrible trade.
It's going to haunt me as a Yankee fan for forever.
It's a terrible trade.
And I wasn't even the biggest Jiro Urshela fan to begin with.
Me either.
Okay?
Me either. I was saying you could deal Gio. You could get a better third baseman. I wanted Matt Chapman over him. I was like, get Matt Chapman. And Matt Chapman's having a very good season. So, I mean, there was many ways you could have went. But the Yankees decided to go a route where, to this day, I don't understand it. I still don't understand what the reasoning was behind it. Somebody said it's because they had to get rid of Sanchez. Guys, come on. They didn't take $25 million to get rid of Sanchez. I don't believe that.
Part of me thinks they did it to get Isaiah Kiner-Falefa.
Probably more of that because they really like this guy, but he's fine as a bench role.
And then people want to throw roses at Brian Cashman's feet for like he got Trevino. He gets no credit. He gets zero credit for trading for Jose Trevino because he fucking got a catcher in that deal that we don't even know if this fucking guy's on the planet anymore. Right. He'd be out there with fucking George Jetson, who's seen Ben fucking Rorfeck.
Right.
He didn't get credit for Jose Trevino and him being an all-star player.
Yep.
That was an emergency thing because our catching tandem this year was supposed to be Higgy and Warfett.
Yeah, that's the way it was supposed to be. That's right.
They traded for this guy. The guy can't even fucking be, we don't know where he is.
Yep. He's like Cashman like traded for injured guys.
He's like Bigfoot. He's a fucking myth. Who's seen him? Who's seen Ben Warfett?
Nobody can find him. Nobody knows where the hell he is, but we keep hearing about him, so we'll see what the hell happens.
While we're talking about one Ben, let's talk about another Ben here. Andrew Benintendi was the first move that the Yankees made. They traded three lower level. They're all pitchers, right, I believe?
Yes. Yeah.
I think 1921, and then another guy was unranked in their system.
Yep.
And I was on vacation when this news broke. It was after one of the Met losses. When I was reading it on Twitter, I was actually on the boardwalk when this happened, and I fucking pumped my fist, and this guy wearing a Judge jersey was like, they won? I was like, what the fuck do you mean they won? Like, the game's been over for an hour, you idiot. Like, but I was like, no, we got fucking Andrew Benintendi. He's like, he sucks. I was like, I don't even want to talk to you. Like, you're obviously a moron. So then this other guy comes up to me, goes, we got Benintendi? I go, yeah, for what? I go, I don't know, three minor league pitchers. It's like, that's too much. I go too much not to have to fucking watch Joey Gallo play anymore.
That's the problem. See what you just said right there. That's the issue with fans nowadays and prospects is like they're not helping you, bro.
You know who the fuck Beckway is? Like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it was Beckway, Sycama, and Champlain who were the three guys they moved.
Yankees recently drafted Beckway, and his name always stuck in my mind because I always thought that was a pretty cool name for a baseball player.
I know people were very high in Sycama, so he was the actual big guy that Beckway has good stuff too. But overall, it's nowhere near anything like an overpay. I mean, or they gave up too much. It made all the sense in the world to make that trade.
Look, Andrew Benintendi has not played well for the most part since he's been here. And so then yesterday, naturally Yankee fans have just got to be fucking assholes and be like, oh, he sucks. He's not better than Gallo. And then, I got into it with Max Goodman today on Twitter because I felt like he was gaslighting the fan base. Like, he's posting Joey Gallo's first eight games with the Yankees versus Andrew Benintendi's first eight games with the Yankees. Like, there's ways you could say Andrew Benintendi has struggled since he came here without evoking Joey Gallo's name. You're saying that because you want people to you're trying to elicit a certain reaction out of people by saying that. Yeah. You know saying Joey Gallo's name is just going to piss people off and then you're comparing his performance to Andrew Benintendi's, you want people to say negative shit about Andrew Benintendi. Yep. And he basically fucking admitted that to me without saying a word. He admitted it to me. So yeah. I know that's what he was fucking gunning for. Okay.
Yeah, and look, Benintendi, obviously, I mean, guys, come on, we're really judging the guy in about, what, 20 at-bats, 21 at-bats? That changes after a series. I mean, he has a decent series. He gets 6 hits in a series, and he's hitting 240, 250 with the Yanks, and an on-base percentage probably closer to 360, 370. As bad as he's been, he got a 320 on-base percentage because he's walked 7 times. So I'm not sitting here, you know, saying, oh, and Andrew Benintendi's been great, he's been this, he's been that. It's too early. I mean, you got to give the guy a little bit of time here. You can't be...
And this...
Joey Gallo got 140 games, 150 games, whatever the hell it was.
And to me, this Benintendi move is not for the next 6 weeks. This is for October.
Correct.
Benintendi's a fucking gutsy... He's a grinder. He's a guy that would have fit in perfectly on that Dynasty team where he wasn't superstar. He grinded out at bats. He played good defense. You knew that he was gonna maybe not always come through, but you knew that you were going to get a professional at bat out of him. He wasn't gonna make a boneheaded mistake out there in the field or on the base paths. You know, that's the type of guy you need in your lineup. But again, here's what pisses me off about the Yankees: he's not being utilized properly in his fucking lineup.
I was just gonna get there. That's correct. That is right. That's right.
He went 1-for-10 in the Kansas City series, but he had 6 walks in 4 fucking games.
Yep.
And the Yankees' big idea was to put him in front of Aaron Hicks.
I don't understand where the Yankees are going with that. I really don't. And I know. Okay, so I'll explain it easily. It's analytics getting in the way of a normal baseball lineup. That's exactly what it is. Is that, well, you analytics tells you your best hitter should bat second because he gets the most at bats. Look, a 1-2 punch of DJ and Benintendi should be the only option that the Yankees have. And Benintendi's going to be much better with Judge protecting him than it will be with Aaron fucking Hicks protecting him. Let's be real now. Benintendi is so much more useful batting second to the Yankees than batting fifth or sixth because...
Didn't he have Salvador Perez batting behind him in Kansas City?
Yes.
Who I think if we recall a few days ago, the guy's a fucking beast.
Yeah, Sal Perez, when he's healthy, he had an injured year all season, but you can see his power has never gone away.
Well, I mean, he's the first guy to hit a home run off of fucking Clay Holmes this year.
Yeah, and I mean, no, the guy's an animal. Look at his numbers last year. I mean, he's a phenomenal ball player, but that's where golly Benny is useful. And we also see what Benny also does. He's stealing bases. He stole a second base today for the Yanks. I mean, he's a guy that, like exactly what you said, and somebody, Caputo, just mentioned it. That 1-2 punch reminds me awfully lot about Jeter and Damon. That's what it should be. 0-9. Those two let games off, and you could sit back and go, well, the Yankees are typically going to score in the first, probably. They got a good shot. To me,
Aaron Judge has 90-something RBIs batting second. Now, you're going to put a guy on there. You're going to put a guy in between him and LeMayu that gets on base at a 380 clip or whatever it is. That's an on-base machine. Like, you're just increasing your opportunities to fucking score runs.
Well, you know what it also takes away? It also takes away the fans, like our argument of, well, the bottom 5 through 9 looks terrible. All that does is extend everybody down. So you can sit there and go, DJ, Benny, Judge, Rizzo, Stanton, Bum Bum, whoever you want after that. And it makes the lineup look so much better when Trevino's your number 9 hitter, which he might hit 15-plus homers this year. It looks really damn good. And Benny adds another guy that just puts the ball in play. I mean, he's a baseball player. He's a ball player. That's what this team needs. But him batting 5th or 6th to me is useless. It's absolutely useless.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's the height of stupidity just to bat him lower than 2nd in this lineup. If you want to fuck around and lead him off, I would be okay with that too. He needs to be in one of the first 2 slots in the lineup. And any combination you want to split it, if you want to go righty-lefty, that's fine. I don't care. You go LeMayu, Benintendi, Judge. And then if you want... You know, you're putting yourself in a position where you have to have the hard decision whether you want Stan to bat fourth or fifth. And in this lineup, I really don't want to go Judge and Stanton back to back. So think about how much more fucking deadly this lineup is. You got Giancarlo Stanton back fifth in the fucking postseason.
No, because
you would probably go Rizzo to keep it righty, lefty, righty. You go Rizzo, clean up Stanton. So now you're 1-5. And then now you're looking at guys like Gleyber Torres and Josh Donaldson. You're 6-7. It's a lot better lineup.
Well, the thing is also the five and six spot, you still want it to be guys that could drive somebody in. That's not Benintendi's job.
No.
Benintendi's job is to get on base and be driven in. So they are once again just doing everything they can to get in their own way because of analytics. And this is the problem with the Yankees. Analytics is fine, but you can't make it make every decision, especially when it's common fucking sense. 3, 4, 5, 6. You want those guys to be what they are. Middle of the order bats who drive runs in. 1 and 2, all they need to worry about, get on base for the big boys. It's that simple. Get on base for the big boys, and that'll get it done. They're not doing it. They're not doing it. So that's the issue right there. That's the issue overall.
Yeah, and then when Benintendi comes over, they're resting guys. Like, can I see the fucking A lineup one time just exactly. So I know what it is? They haven't done it.
Yep. And we got a super chat from Mr. Santiago. He says, lineup should be Benny, DJ, Judge, Rizzo, Stanton, Carpenter, and then he adds Flo in there, Trevino and Peraza if he got called up. I mean, even if you take Flo out and you add Bader, who it could will potentially be, that's fine. I mean, the Yankees also, with a guy like Bader, you got to remember. When people look at Bader's numbers, they probably don't think he's that good of a hitter. He's getting better year after year, and he's hitting for more power now, too. One of the best defensive outfielders in baseball. He might be the best center fielder in all of baseball. Speed, he has all of that. Now, you're kind of concerned the guy has plantar fasciitis. That could be a little concerning, but... You know, overall as a player, he's going to be ready for the postseason more than likely. I mean, I know Brian Cashman trades for guys, but he can't be that stupid to look at medicals and go, this guy has no shot of playing this year. I mean, he can't be that dumb. You would really hope not. That's not a move they make knowing that he can't play at all this year. But think about what that does to the bottom of the lineup also. You got more speed out there now too. So he's a guy to bat lower because he could pop 20 homers in a season. I think he hit 16 last year. So, and he already got, I think he had 13 this year being injured. So, you could see the production for him. He's turning into the player he's going to be. But for the bottom of the order, he makes sense because he can still drive runs in. I don't want Benintendi being the guy to come up needing a big hit because they got to drive a run in. I want Benintendi being a guy that is bothering the fuck out of a pitcher. And then Aaron Judge is sitting there saying, I'm seeing everything this relief pitcher got because Benny's putting an 8-pitch at bat up. All right, good. I'm ready to go. Benny draws a walk, and then Judge knows what he's facing. That's common sense fucking baseball. The Yankees, for some reason, refuse to do the common sense move, and it makes no sense to me at all.
Yeah. So I know a lot of Yankee fans, or at least the ones on social media, were starting to turn on Benintendi. You got to give it more than a week. You just have to.
Of course. Of course.
And who's he here to replace? He's here to replace Joey Gallo. It's like a mercy kill. The Yankees trading him is what it is. It's like, you know, it's like when a horse breaks his leg and he can't race no more, and they just got to go put him behind the fucking barn. You know, that's basically what they did with Joey Gallo. And if you want to extol the virtues of Brian Cashman, this is the trade that you do it in, because everybody and their fucking mother knew Joey Gallo was getting traded. Yep. The Yankees would have been in a position where they had to DFA him at 6:01 if they couldn't swing a fucking deal for him. Yeah. Everybody knew that.
Yep.
So he somehow flipped him for a top 15 prospect. That's where you give Brian Cashman some credit.
No, I no doubt. That was a very good deal. Bader is a guy who, worst case scenario, you know what? The funny thing about Bader is he's actually, in many senses, very similar to Luis Medina, who the Yankees dealt in. They almost got a Medina back, in a sense. Command has always been an issue. Command's an issue for Bader. Command's an issue for Medina. Medina, I think, is a better overall pitching prospect, but they're not far off. They're both in Double A. And projection-wise, if control doesn't fully come around, they're probably late-inning guys that could just blow people away. And he's already number 10 in our system. So yeah, you got that for Joey friggin' Gallo. That's not bad. That's a good deal for the Yankees.
No, because, I mean, if you would have told me that that whoever they traded to him scraped some gum off under the fucking seats and mailed it in an envelope to the Yankees, I would have been like, that's probably a fair trade.
Right.
And to put a bow on Joey Gallo's time here, look, there was an art, you know, and the people at New Jersey Advanced Media, I think that's the Bergen Record, that they did that interview with Joey Gallo. You know what? I don't want to come off as like, oh, being some like fucking soft guy or whatever, but you're picking the fucking bones of a carcass with that interview, right? Like that was really unnecessary to do and to put Joey Gallo in that position. Like we all see the guy. Like especially if you're around the team, like you could kind of figure this shit out. It didn't need to be put out in the press like that. You know, I feel bad for the guy on this level is that it didn't work here. I think we all wanted it to work here. You know, people were like, oh, Yankee fans are assholes for booing. I don't think the Yankee, I think based on what I saw at least, and from the couple of games I've been to this year, I think people were actually still even rooting for Joey Gallo.
Well, he's a likable guy. He's not an asshole. You know what I mean? He doesn't have that asshole persona. Like he doesn't give a fuck. Joey Gallo played. He tried. I mean, like, you could see that with him.
Yeah, he'd strike out with two runners on to end an inning when the Yankees are down by a run and the place would fucking boo the shit out. But I think they were almost booing the result more than they were booing Joey Gallo because it's not like they hated him because he was getting cheered. They were rooting him on throughout the entire at-bat.
Right, right. You know, yeah. Well, that's like I'm saying before. I mean, you know, Joey Gallo was relatable. One, being in New York, being an Italian guy coming over there, him and Rizzo together, that was automatic. We want to see this guy do good. I mean, you had Italian flags all over the place. There was T-shirts made left and right. Yankee fans were hype about that. And there's never been anything Joey Gallo did to be like, as a person, he's a scumbag. Fuck him. Get him off the team. The worst thing Gallo might have done coming here was taking A-Rod's number. That literally might have been the dumbest thing he did. Overall, I was being like, I just want to keep my number 13. Because you know what that did? That just set like a stupid expectation in a lot of people's mind. Like, well, he's taking A-Rod's number. Nah, fuck this guy. That could be the worst thing you could make an argument that Gallo might have done. But other than that,
I think the Yankees did that to fucking tweak A-Rod, though.
Bro, I wouldn't doubt it. But at the end of the day, I mean,
I don't know if you remember
he's not
this,
a bad guy at all.
When there was rumors that the Yankees were after Gallo, the Yankees were on Sunday Night Baseball and A-Rod was on there and said that would be a basically said the Yankees would be fucking morons for trading for this guy.
Yes, I remember that. I remember that.
And I think the Yankees turned around and gave his number out to him to say, go fuck yourself,
Alex.
Go
fuck yourself. Yeah, you don't make decisions here. What are you talking about? But another thing, too, that why, again, if you're in this right now watching us live, I mean, we've had over 200 just about the whole time here. But if you are new and you're not subbed, this is why you should subscribe. We did an interview. I did an interview with Kevin Kernan, who was with the New York Post for ages and years and years and years, knows the Yankees extremely well. Kevin Kernan, at the time of getting Joey Gallo, and Joey Gallo had the bad, you know, first round with the Yankees. And he said flat out, he said, Pete, look, this was a pure analytic move. And this has actually just came out here recently.
I heard this morning.
Yeah,
actually.
It just came out this morning recently where there was loads of people in the Yankees organization that knew about Gallo and even the Rangers. And they would have said, there is no way you put this guy in New York City just off having the tics, which is a form of Tourette syndrome, knowing how he is as a person, with wanting to be around a lot of guys, be around the media. It's not his thing. So the Yankees automatically set a guy up for failure. He had no say in where he went to. Texas just wanted prospects. It's a part of baseball. But the Yankees should not have made that move. And Kevin Kernan said it months ago that this was a pure analytic move that is biting the Yankees on the ass because they said the hell with advanced scouting. We're not going to listen to him. And he was 100% correct. And I'm happy that came out now because more credibility here. Keep coming to NYY News TV.
Well, that's what I heard on a report this morning is that Fuck, I just completely lost my train of thought now. I knew what I was going to say. This happens to me at least once a show.
You're becoming like Joe Biden, slowly. Slowly but surely, you're becoming Joe. But no, you were talking about the whole analytic thing and how it was an analytic move and that people in the organization were actually...
Yeah, that's what they were saying, that there was people in the organization against it. But they also, the people that were for it, they were for it because there's no analytic for a guy's mental health.
Right.
Or a guy's personality. Like, there's no analytic for that. That's why they completely ignored what they were being told.
Yep. That's right. That's right. So he shouldn't have been the guy that came here. And look, I was rooting for him. As you guys know, I mean, when the trade happened, I was for it. I said, good, you know, the worst case scenario is, again, he'll hit 200. He'll get on base at a good clip and pop homers. He did none of that. No. He did none of that as a Yankee. I think, matter of fact, somebody put it out. He's the worst hitter in Yankee history in a certain amount of at-bats. There's never been a worse hitter than him.
I heard this stat. There's two guys that are below him, and one is a pitcher.
And one is a pitcher, okay.
One is a pitcher, yeah, I heard that.
To be fair, then, he's one of the worst of all time.
The Yankees have been around since 1903, and he's the second worst hitter to ever step into.
Tells you all you need to know about his tenure. There's nothing else you can say about his tenure besides everybody probably dropped the ball on it, and Joey Gallo just wasn't the guy that should have been here.
No, and this is the last thing I'll say on Joey Gallo. I don't give a fuck how much money he makes. Now, I saw a lot of people making that point yesterday. They're like, oh, who cares? He's a millionaire. What does money have to do with how this guy, you know, it's like, I get it. Yeah, I don't have $10 million. He has $10 million. Right. But when you are that fucked up in the brain, as he obviously is, just reading what he said, you can tell how fucked up this guy is. You think he goes home and fucking white and like, you know, like Scrooge McDuck and fucking takes a bath in his $10 million? The guy said he wouldn't even want to fuck. He doesn't leave his apartment. He doesn't want to show his fucking face outside.
Yeah, that's tough, guys.
When your mental health is that bad, bro, I don't care if you had fucking $1 billion. What the fuck does that matter?
No, I agree. I agree 100% with that. It's definitely tough. And you got to remember, too, to be put in that position. He did when he says I wanted to do good here. He wanted to do good here. He didn't want to fucking shit the bed. It's a bad situation. I hope he goes somewhere else and does well.
He literally said, like, I have to live with this for the rest of my life. Like,
yeah, he's gonna be known as one of the worst. He'll be known forever. That's the crazy thing. More than whatever Joey Gallo ever does, he's gonna be known for his Yankee tenure. That's what he's gonna be known for. Doesn't matter what else he does. He will be known unless he hits some Game 7 walk-off home run of the World Series. Joey Gallo is going to be known as his horrible tenure for the New York Yankees. That's what he'd be known for.
So it was, I mean, and people are like, well, the Yankees traded him to L.A. L.A. is a market, a big market. It's not New York,
It's not New York media-wise, and that's one of the biggest issues. And fan-wise, look at Yankee Stadium compared to the Dodger Stadium. I mean, the fans of Yankee Stadium are right on you. He heard it every single day. He heard it every single day. I mean, again, that's no excuse for him. It just was not the good situation. I think it's really that simple.
No, and that's why, you know, a guy like Zach Greinke, he could not work in New York. Like we just saw him pitch the other day. You know,
thankfully for him, he had no trade clause because he was like, yeah, I'm not pitching any place like that. I can't do it. You know, so
he stepped. I mean, he's got such bad anxiety and mental health issues that he stepped away from the game for a couple of years.
Correct. That's right.
You know, and I think when he went to Houston, everybody was flipping out like, oh, Houston got him. He could never pitch in fucking New York.
I said the same thing. There's no way.
And that's the same thing with Joey Gallo, man. Like, it's just one of these guys. And like, yeah, they're superstar athletes. They make millions of dollars, but there's still something inside of them that fucking makes them tick or doesn't tick in a certain way. And no amount of money or no fucking amount of talent that they might have changes that. So, you know, New York is not for everybody. We've seen it now time and time again. And you know what? Like you said, Joey Gallo's not a bad guy. I wish him well in his future endeavors and as a Major League Baseball player.
Christian, look at this. This just happened. The Padres are up 5-0 in their new three hitters. Soto walked, Bell walked, Brandon Drury hit a grand slam all in the first at bat. So those guys are San Diego's hype right now.
Yeah. So the other guy, we'll talk about this briefly. Yankees picked up Scott Efros to help out in his name's Scott, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Right. To help out in the bullpen. And again, like, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know a lot about him coming into the trade. I think he pitched against the Yankees when they were here a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Sinker slider guy, numbers are good. You know, he's going to be under control for 4 or 5 years. You know, I think he's classified as a rookie this year. It was a good move. They needed bullpen help, but it was with Wesneski went in that deal, and that was a little surprising to me because I thought he was the guy that was kind of close for them.
Yeah. Wesneski is power arm righty. Got a good start, but a lot of people also, I know Eli also sees him likely pitching out of the bullpen, a wipeout slider, a fastball slider guy, so could eventually become a bullpen guy. And I think that's how the Yankees saw it, is that, you know, Efros is a guy who's already doing it at this level and doing a good job. And the thing I like about it is he gives a different angle and a different look in their bullpen. He's not the same.
And that's what I think a lot of people were excited about, that aspect of it, is that the Yankees have a lot of power arms, power sinker guys. And he is a sinker slider guy, but he doesn't have that 97, 99 sinker. Correct. It's more like conventionally, you know, back in the day, a sinker guy was like 91, 92, and that's kind of where he is. So, I mean, I like the move.
It does
lengthen the bullpen, especially now. Clay Holmes is kind of hit of a little bit of a rut here. Before we finish up on the other trade here that they made, are you worried about Clay Holmes? Is this a blip or
no? I think you would be completely overreacting if you're worried about Clay Holmes. I mean, you know, my thing with Holmes is one of those guys that is going to have to repeat his delivery if he's going to have command. And when he doesn't, he's in trouble. He's one of those guys that can't be off mechanically at all, because when he's on, he's dominating. When he's off, he's going to leave pitches out, and he throws so hard that if you leave a pitch up in the zone and the guy gets around on it, he's going to smack the ball. Or he's just going to walk. You can see when he has no control, he's throwing behind guys, knocking them off the plate. There's a lot of trouble there when he's off.
Well, he broke that kid's hand, right?
He broke his hand, yeah. Bobby Witt Jr., who's been a top prospect in baseball for years. And so, I mean, at the end of the day, Clay Holmes just – I'll make it quite simple. You got to ride with Clay Holmes. You can't be too concerned about him. You can't worry about him. Now, look, yeah, there's a blip on the radar. You got a lot of time to play around with him. If he does this now for the next month and a half, 7 weeks, whatever it is, then you got a problem. But I don't expect that to truly be the case for a guy like Clay Holmes.
You know what makes me nervous about Clay Holmes right now is that this is coinciding with Rose Chapman pitching 3 or 4 scoreless innings in a row now.
Yeah. I wouldn't. I mean, look, the Yankees seem to make some dumb moves, so I wouldn't doubt a role this Chapman starts pitching later in games as we go.
And you know the Yankees want to give the role this Chapman more responsibility.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
So. And I don't think Aroldis Chapman can look like the second coming of Mariano Rivera for now until October 1st. There's not a person alive that roots for this fucking team that trusts him in the ninth inning in the postseason game.
Oh yeah, there's no way in hell. I don't trust him at all. He could be the most, like you said, he could be the most dominating pitcher the rest of the way. I don't trust him in the postseason.
Now, before we get to the big move the Yankees made, Juan Soto did go to the San Diego Padres. I don't know if it was you who said it or heard from somebody else that the Padres just weren't, the Nats were just not in love with Anthony Volpe.
Yeah, John Heyman, I think, released that information that the Nationals and Mike Rizzo and their talent evaluators do not see Anthony Volpe as a superstar. They see him as an average major league ball player. And that's the reason the Yankees had no chance to get Juan Soto. None whatsoever. Because they were. And the reason they were worried about it, because the Yankees would have offered him. The Yankees would have gave him up for him. But they just sat back and go, look, our talent evaluators do not see him the same way as you guys do.
So who's wrong? If gun to your head, who's wrong?
It's tough because... It's tough because let me tell you why it's tough. What do we expect him to be? The Yankees are making it sound like this guy got to be the next Derek Jeter, and if he's not, it's a bust.
No, he has to be.
Well, exactly.
Based on it.
So I'm sorry, but I'm more along the lines of the Nationals in that front is that
I think
it's very hard to be that fucking good.
It's more likely he's what the Nationals think that
and
he is.
And here's another thing. Yes. Here's another thing about Anthony Volpe. Anthony Volpe strikes out a whole fucking lot. When it gets to the major leagues, that adjustment's going to have to kick in. If Anthony Volpe hits 240 and hits 25 homers a year, we might sit here and go, that's not bad. That's not enough for what we were promised. And I can't look back on that. I can't look back in the future and go, Anthony Volpe year in and year out is a good shortstop. Fuck that. We passed on everybody for this kid. He needs to be elite. Top three, top five in all of baseball. If he's not that, it's a fuck up on the Yankees.
No, I'm on record, and I'll quadruple down on it now as saying this. If he's not at the very least a top 10, top 15 player in the entire sport, the Yankees completely fucked. They fucked everything up for him.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. And look, he has all the tools. He does. He's a little smaller. They say he's listed at 5'11". He's not 5'11". Anthony Volpe's 5'9 at best. 5'9 at best.
So he's a stocky. Fucking Italian from New Jersey, bro.
He's stocky. He got power. He got all that. He does. He's a good fielder. He got better. He worked on it. This guy, I'm sorry, but he needs to be elite. We passed up on too much. We moved on from too much.
It's like a couple all-star games, a guy that hits 270 with a little pop and he plays a good – no, that's – I'd be okay with that if you didn't punt on this fucking shortstop class for him and refuse to and all these guys that you could have possibly traded for him that you didn't want to put him in a deal for.
Yeah.
Like that's not good enough. Like he needs to be top 15, bro. Like, and people think I'm nuts for saying that, but you keep adding to all the stuff that the Yankees are not doing because of him. That's what he needs to be.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, at the end of the day, you don't want a shortstop who strikes out 160, 170 times a year, 150, 155, 160. You don't necessarily want that. Volpe does a lot of good things. He steals a lot of bases. He's fast. he does a lot of that stuff. But, you know, for the people in the comments sitting there saying 71 strikeouts and 394 plate appearances isn't a lot, he's in Double A. And I know he could still improve and still get better, but for a guy that is the elite prospect in the planet, you still want to see better than that. And yeah, he's been tremendous. You don't want your elite shortstop to strike out over 150 times a season at the major league level. 170, 180. You don't want that. You don't want anybody approaching 200. And, you know, there's a lot of doubts in what Volpe can do. There's a lot of people.
Unless you're Aaron Judge and you're going to hit 50 home runs in a year. Is he going to do that?
No. No, definitely not. And the thing with Anthony Volpe is he's proved a lot of people wrong early on because there was a lot of people saying that he didn't have the arm to play shortstop. What did he do? He went to a center to work on arm velocity. He was pitching to work on getting better velocity on his arm. And he did that. So, I mean, there's just a lot riding on who Anthony Volpe is going to be and what he's going to turn out to be, because the Yankees, and David Cohn said it, and thank God for David Cohn, because Michael Volpe, if you're watching, you got upset with me. That's Anthony's father. Got upset with me with saying that there's a lot of pressure the Yankees are pushing on him. And David Cohn flat out said, the worst thing the Yankees ever did was passing up on all of these guys and coming out and saying, we believe in Volpe and the other guys we have. It's a stupid thing to do. And the Yankees did it. So they put him in a predicament now that he has to be a top 15 player, at least top 5 shortstop in all of baseball.
Well, a name that we did hear that he was possibly rumored to go for was Shohei Ohtani. I did hear that.
Yep.
I know that would have been a very sexy splash. I would not have been in love with that, to be honest with you. I am not a big Shohei Ohtani guy.
I'd have been cartwheels, man.
I understand that, and I would not be. I would not go at anybody that was excited for him to be here.
Right.
I just remember we sat here and we were interviewing somebody. His name was Chris Corelli. He was working for SNY at the time. Great guy, who helped us out tremendously in the beginning, and now I think he left the business to pursue his dream to be like a fitness coach and moved down to North Carolina. So. You know, but I always give him, he was one of the guys that helped us out a lot in the beginning. And we sat here and we were interviewing him because the Yankees had just named Aaron Boone as the manager, because this all happened like right around the same time. And we were also discussing Shohei Ohtani, and it was just like, Ohtani had all these rules for where he was going to sign for. He didn't want to play on the East Coast.
Right.
He didn't want to. So really, the Yankees never had a shot based on two reasons. You know, he didn't want to come to the East Coast. He didn't want to come to a team that had a Japanese superstar. He didn't want to be overshadowed by being on the same team as Masahiro Tanaka, or even going back, like he had rules that he didn't want to play in Seattle because they had Ichiro. Like he didn't want to be the second Japanese superstar. Like he wouldn't have wanted, you know. And so that type of shit always bothered me. You know, like if you want to be the guy, you want to come over here and be Babe Ruth. What the fuck else you gonna do with it in a fucking Yankee Stadium? Being a fucking Yankee.
That's true. That's true.
And then on top of that, when he came over here, he was scheduled to pitch against Tanaka Friday night game. I think they were carrying the game on MLB Network, so it was broadcast nationally outside of this market.
Yeah.
And then he had load management. Yeah, I'll give you fucking load management. Oh, yeah,
that I didn't like. That was odd to me, too, where he wouldn't pitch against the Yankees. That was kind of odd.
Not even that he wouldn't pitch against the Yankees, Pete. He didn't want to pitch against the Yankees because he got to go against fucking Tanaka.
Right.
That's why he didn't want to do it.
The
guy's an exceptional talent. I'm not stupid in telling you that. Oh, sure, Ohtani sucked. But for when you add in all those factors to me, like, I don't know how much that would really work here, you know?
Yeah.
And but I understand Brian Cashman, like, talking about Gerrit Cole being his white whale. It's the guy that he fucking wanted.
Yeah, he wanted Ohtani. They were very upset when he didn't want to play in New York.
And then, you know, they didn't get Ohtani, and they turned around and they got John Carl Stanton. That was like their pivot move. So, yep. I mean, and then the Angels ended up trading him. So, I mean, like, that's a good place for Shohei Ohtani. Just go be Shohei Ohtani where nobody gives a fuck, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he didn't want those lights, bro. And like,
he could have came here and shit the bed, too. You know, he could have came here and shit the bed, too. Who knows? Who knows if he's a guy who already knows. I don't want big markets and things like that.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people were excited, like you just said. He would have been doing cartwheels if he got here. But to me, I would have had tempered expectations because of how he acted when he was a free agent, you know?
Yeah.
So, well, the big move that the Yankees did pull off was they got Frankie Montas. And, again, credit to you because you also had fucking Trevino in the fucking deal.
Yeah.
You told us that was going to happen. So they did get Trevino, who is not having the greatest season ERA-wise. But
I love him.
A lot of people brought this up, and you know that. And if the Yankees are fucking smart, and we always say smarter Yankees, so who the fuck knows? If the Yankees are smart, they looked at this. Bregman and Altuve are like a combined 2-for-24 against this guy.
Yeah, there's a lot of good things alike from Lou Trevino. When you really break down his numbers, he's a career high in strikeouts. Right, I think he's striking about 12 per 9. Walk numbers haven't really changed. Just for some reason, he's given up way more hits, which you can say, in a sense, for a relief pitcher, it's probably a little bit of bad luck there. Probably a little bit of bad luck there in reality, not some Joey Gallo bad luck that when he hits a ball, it's at somebody. It's probably where relief pitchers, they can have 2 or 3 bad outings and the ERA is never the same.
Because when we were talking about that, I looked at his game logs. He has one game where he allowed 5 earned runs and another one where he allowed 4. And for a relief pitcher, that could really screw his ERA up for this.
I mean, you take away 9 earned runs, for an example, from what he's done, his ERA looks a lot better and the season looks better. But again, his FIP is around the same that it's been year after year after year. So I don't think he's really changed. I think you pair a guy up with him, like with Matt Blake, I think you got something. I think you got a guy in Trevino who I think is going to be a major late-inning guy for this team down the stretch. I'll put that on record right now. I said it all during game season. I think Lou Trevino is going to be really, really good for the Yankees. I think he's going to be terrific.
Well, we know Boone has said it already. F. Ross is going right into high-leverage situations. And I wouldn't be surprised if Trevino is follows him, because I mean, if you look at that bullpen outside of Clay Holmes, they are gonna start trusting Chapman more and more, and we all know that's gonna happen. But outside of that, you know, Ron Marinaccio is the guy that deserves a shot, but he's not gonna, you know, and so does Wandy, but you're not gonna pitch these guys every day.
Johnny Lowe, thankfully, is looking a little better.
You know, he's another one, but so you're gonna need guys that are gonna have to pitch, get some big outs, and you might be in a situation in the postseason where you might tell Nestor, give me 15 outs. Give me 12 outs. So where are the rest of the outs going to come from? You know?
Yep.
So, but Montas was the big pitching acquisition. I like it. I don't love it. And I know a lot of people were like, oh, he's better than Castillo. I don't see it. I mean, he's good.
Better than Castillo?
Yeah.
No. He's not.
I mean, that was a lot of, I've been using this term a lot lately. It's just my word of the week. That's a lot of bootlicking right there to tell me that he's fucking better than Castillo, because I don't think this stuff is as good.
Well, it's
because
the Yankees got him. You know, I think same thing with IKF. Yeah, exactly. The Yankees got him, and he's the greatest player in the world.
But here is my problem right now. And it's not that the Yankees got Montas, because I think he's going to be good for them. I do. Yeah, I think he's going to be a good pitcher for them. I like that they got Trevino in the deal. They did give up a lot for him. I know they held on to Peraza, but they still paid a good price for him, right?
Hell of a price, yeah, definitely.
My problem is, Pete, is that they didn't pay the fucking price that they needed to get the fucking guy that they absolutely needed to get, and that was Luis Castillo.
Would you have given up Volpe?
Absolutely. I'm sorry to say. No.
Not at all. I always ask that because, you know, there's a lot of people who are like, and I'm actually, to be honest with you guys, I'm actually on the fence a little bit about, is that the player you go move him for? Because Castillo, he is. I mean, he got all the stuff that you want to be a dominating guy. I just think there's potential of a larger deal down the line. And I didn't think you would have to give up an Anthony Volpe for a Luis Castillo. But anybody who says they would have, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, no way. I'm not going to say that at all. I don't think that would have been a horrible move. Because idea is to win now. And Castillo's a win now guy.
I'm selling my soul. Honestly, I'm selling my soul to win the World Series this year.
I don't know if
the Yankees are going to be in this position again next season. I don't know if they're going to be in this position 2 years from now, 3 years from now. I'm selling my soul to win the World Series this year right now, right? And not only do you have Luis Castillo for a postseason run this year, you have him for a postseason run next year.
Right.
So if the Yankees do what they need to do, you have a legit 1-2 punch where you were just talking about this earlier, where Gerrit Cole doesn't feel the need that he has to be fucking Batman all the time, where he has another Batman with them, you know?
Yeah. And that's why I was just so excited about where we were actually going on this thing when I was told about the whole Monty stuff, and I'm like, shit, we're going to get fucking Rodon? Like, you're going to have Cole, Montas, Rodon? I said it. I think I told you guys in the chat. I said, guys, I'll be honest, I'll go on fucking record and say the Yankees are winning the World Series. If they do that, I would have been more confident than I have ever been in my life as the Yankees winning a World Series again, finally. Because there's not many teams that is matching that at all. But Montas alone, I love the deal. Here's a little concern I have with Frankie Montas. His splits do concern me. And I have never been a guy who looks at splits from players like from Colorado, for an example, LeMayu, he doesn't hit on the road, blah, blah, blah. The reason the splits concern me with a pitcher in Oakland,
because it's a cavernous ballpark. Yes. It's like playing in a fucking, in a national park.
Correct. And you get a lot of pop out. Routine foul balls become outs in Oakland. So there is a little play there. I mean, his ERA is almost 3 runs different at home and on the road. Again, not saying at all, because not saying that he's bad, that he's going to be bad here. I don't believe that. I think Frankie Montas was a must get, and the Yankees got him, especially if they didn't give up all these other guys.
No, but after they didn't get Castillo, they could not have walked away from this trade deadline without getting Montas.
Yeah, and somebody just said in the chat, does he give up home runs? Not really. He's not some guy who just rears back and gives up tons of runs. It's not what he does. So season numbers, 3.18 ERA, 19 games started, 104 innings, about a strikeout per 9. Not a big walk guy either. And he's overpowering. I mean, he throws in the mid-90s. The home and away stuff does concern me a little bit, but nothing that will make me get away from the deal. I still would have done it. I still would have done the deal. But I really, man, I was so pumped up about what this rotation was going to become. And the fact now that I got to have it damper on me again and go, shit, they didn't get that other fucking guy. And you look at it now and you're just like, it's better Don't get me wrong, the Yankees improved. Even getting rid of Montgomery, they've improved their team. But, holy shit, could they have really gotten so much better. And it does put a damper on it now because I'm like, the 1-2 punch is cute, but I'm still concerned about Cole. I still have my red flags. But if they got two guys, I could sit back and go, well, if he's not the guy, we still got these two other horses right behind him. And a guy like Rodon, to me, who just doesn't give a fuck. You saw that one game he threw the shutout on the road, and he turns around to the fans and is just like, let's go, come on.
Yeah, I saw it.
Like, he does. This guy is a fucking nut job. We need that.
I'll be honest with you. If the Yankees trade deadline broke exactly the same exact way, the Monty shit, everything, but they got Castillo over Montas, I feel so much better.
I would too.
About this
I'd be
team.
More. I'd be more confident. Definitely, I agree. I like Castillo way more than Montas. I've said that the whole deadline that he would have been my guy.
But Chris and I sat here and we spoke about it that the Yankees to eliminate the questions that they needed to eliminate to be in the best position to win the World Series this year would have to feel pain in some of these trades. And look, I agree with you. I think the Yankees gave up a lot for Montas, but I don't think they felt pain in doing it. I really don't think they felt the pain they needed to feel. And they did. They would have fucking had to feel it to wrestle away Castillo, especially based off of what Seattle gave up. And Cashman looked at that and said, no. And that's my problem with Brian Cashman. He still refuses to go above and beyond to get the guy. Luis Castillo is the fucking guy, guys.
Yeah, like, he is.
That's just my opinion.
No, I'm right there with you. Castillo was the get.
And look, I put out an angry tweet after Castillo got traded, and I said, I can't wait to see what fucking second-class bum Cashman trades for because he doesn't want to pay the freight for Castillo.
Yeah, I thought Quintana or Blackburn was going to be the get, to be honest.
And you got that idiot virgin that runs that bad Yankee Takes account retweeting that from me, and he's like, update? No, first of all, you fucking idiot. Why don't you go meet a woman, okay? And then stop having the fucking time to go through fucking people's tweets and retweeting shit, okay?
Right.
Because people that get laid or are focused on getting laid don't have fucking time to go through people's fucking Twitter accounts, okay?
Facts.
This jerk-off is fucking retweeting shit from 5 years ago. You're doing Twitter searches going back 5 fucking years? Why don't you go find – how much does a fucking hooker cost these days? I will fucking Venmo this guy the amount of money to get a fucking hooker because that's what this guy needs.
Right. Absolutely ridiculous.
You know, and then I'm not even mad so much about that he did that because whatever, it's kind of in fun, whatever. But then you get these fucking morons that are in my mentions. Update. They tweet clown emojis at me. Like, go fuck yourself. I don't. You know, I just started fucking muting people. Like, I don't need to fucking put up with that shit.
That's what I do. Just mute them.
I didn't get into it with anybody. But like, it's just stupid. Like. These anybody that tries to cancel, like, I know no one's trying to cancel me. Somebody trying to cancel somebody over something they said 10 years ago. Why don't you fucking go outside and take a walk? Go meet a woman. Go to a fucking Starbucks and go strike up a conversation with a real person.
Yeah, I agree. It's some of the same, you know, bullshit that you always see. But, I mean, you know, I see some people in here saying that did Volpe really hold the Castillo deal? And 100% he did. No doubt about it. The Yankees weren't going to go there. And I think if they did, they have him. Because the understanding is that the Yankees wouldn't give up Volpe for Castillo. And the first team that said, hey, take our number one guy, they'll do it. Seattle did it. Seattle said, hey, we'll give you our number one guy, no problem.
But
Cincinnati, right, they went with
it. Part of me doesn't want to, like, I'm very conflicted on trading Volpe, right? Because I want, after everything the Yankees have done, I want to see this kid in a Yankee uniform. I do. I want to see it. I want them to prove themselves right about this kid. But at the same time, it's like he's still never even seen a pitch of Triple A. Why are we keeping him from allowing us to win a World Series this year?
Yep. And that is the thing that I talk about when I say they're trying to be like the Dodgers, but they don't want to fully commit to being like the Dodgers. Because
the Dodgers traded a top 15 guy for fucking Joey Gallo. You think they fucking give a shit?
Well, that's my thing. And then look, you could sit there and go, well, the Padres haven't won anything, and that's fair. But what are The Padres are telling their fan base, guys, we're always going to do whatever the fuck it takes. Can you even question that?
I think Crazy Joe asked us in the group chat if AJ Pro is the best GM in baseball, and I countered, said, I don't know if he's the best. He's got the biggest fucking balls, though.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And the Kevin Kernan goes back to that, too, and he goes, you know, talking about AJ Preller, that at the end of the day, you know, what he does is his minor league system is used as to go get guys, and he wants the best players up at the major league level. And, you know, that is usually the way to go about it, but the Yankees got the best of both worlds. They got the money, and they got the prospects. They have that. You got to choose what's more important. The Yankees
aren't
choosing.
But they seemingly don't want to spend either, though. That's my, that's my big problem with
them. That's my issue with their philosophy, is either you go full-fledged into the philosophy, which means you spend money, you deal prospects, you get the best players when you need to. You can also develop them and call them up. But the Yankees don't call up, they don't want to spend, and they don't want to trade. So they're blocking themselves from being the best. Because look, I remember sitting there the whole time arguing with people. Oh, Pete, there's no way they could get Soto and Castillo. And I'm sitting there going, are you guys batshit crazy? Come to find out, they probably couldn't get Soto because they wouldn't get rid of Volpe. But they could have got Castillo and Montas. Look at the deals. They could have got both of them. If the Yankees really wanted, then go, fuck, you know what? And we could also trade Glaber. We could get the two best pitchers available and more. We could still go get Bader. We could still go get these other things we want to do. But they stop themselves from doing what their philosophy that they're trying to build. It's like they're stopping themselves from being themselves is the problem. And that's the issue that I have with the Yankees.
The way I look at it is like this, right? I'm hungry, right? And I'm in the mood for a fucking steak. And a steak is going to cost me $20. But at the same time, like, I drive past a burger joint, and I'm like, this burger is going to fill me up. It's still going to be pretty good. I don't have to spend $10 on this hamburger. So I stopped and get the hamburger, which was good, but it's not what I really wanted. And that's the same way that the Yankees are right now with Montas versus Castillo. They chose a guy based on the price tag and not what they really needed. And that's what bothers
me. That's a great point.
What bothers me about the Montas deal. He wasn't the Yankees' top target. He was the cheaper player in terms of prospect price. And you want to say Anthony Volpe is my one untouchable. Pick one guy, tell me he's your untouchable. Anthony Volpe is the guy, that's fine. I can live with that based on what I just told you, that I almost need to see this guy play for the Yankees now and be proven right or wrong one way or another with him in a Yankee uniform.
What you just said, everybody in this chat, how long I've been saying that during both of the deadline videos I made for 5 hour things, I said exactly that, what Christian just said. If the Yankees want to come out and go, you know what? Volpe's our guy. Cool. I don't have an issue with them doing that. But I better fucking see this kid soon. You should have Peraza up and let this kid start getting his feet wet in AAA and getting him prepared for the show. Not that Anthony Volpe is spending a whole year in AAA next year. Then we'll see him in 2024. No. I'm sorry. You need to start fucking moving with these guys and letting us see who they are. Peraza, he's done in AAA. He doesn't need more AAA. He doesn't need it no more. Start putting these guys up here. I'm cool with
Pete,
you keeping prospects.
They got a whole fucking lineup of guys that don't need AAA anymore. You know they're going to fucking rot there till they're brown like an old banana.
And that's my fucking concern. That's my concern. And the balls on this team for doing a lot of what they're doing to these guys. Let Miguel Andujar release the guy at least. Let somebody pick him up. What are you doing with Miguel Andujar? At this point, it's borderline criminal. Let the fucking guy play baseball.
I said it to in our group chat. I'll say it here. Brian Cashman's being a selfish prick in the sense that he's not gonna do the right thing by those players
in
Florial and Andujar. What he's gonna do is hold on to them because he can, and just in case of emergency, break glass and leave him down in AAA. And if he needs him, he needs him. And then when December rolls around and he's gotta make a move because he needs some fucking 40-man spots, then he'll just fucking let them go.
Yeah, it's literally, and I never talk like that, like, oh, well, I'm complaining about a prospect. At this point, for a guy like Miguel Andujar, what else do you guys want the guy to do? To give him a fucking chance to play? It's his career. Let the dude play at the major league level somewhere. You're not doing nothing with him. It's obvious. Florio's having finally having a breakout year. The Yankees never played him when Joey Gallo was hitting 120, 130. They said that Florio's hitting 3-something, 14-plus home runs, running like crazy, great fielding. Let the guy go. Get a low A arm for him at least, anything. Let him go. I mean, at this point, it really is fucked up. Oh, I don't know how else to see it.
They'll designate him for assignment in December because they need their roster spot for when they got to protect guys on the 40.
That's another reason why I got pissed when people were talking about, oh, what is McGillin? Who does he think he is asking for a trade? Okay, hold on. His career is to play Major League Baseball. He has to eventually do it at the Major League level. You don't want the guy to be mad when he's walking out that clubhouse and Joey Gallo's playing over him and Aaron Hicks is playing over him. The guy has every fucking right to be pissed. It's his career.
Have you ever been to fucking Scranton? Who the fuck wants to live there either, you know?
For real, I mean, come on. Jeez, let the guy get a damn chance, man.
I know The Office made it seem fucking glamorous, but I've been to fucking Scranton. There ain't nothing to do around there, bro. The entertainment ends at 9:30 when IHOP closes.
Right, exactly. I mean, come on, man. I mean,
but just to wrap up the montage, to wrap up the stuff on Castillo, okay, you tell me Volpe's untouchable, right? Okay. Dominguez, Peraza, Pereira, Walden, go down the fucking line. You mean to tell me you couldn't go down the line and give them a deal that they wanted to? No, you would have had to pay through the fucking nose, and you didn't want to do it.
Yeah, they could have went more with quantity, I believe, and pulled off a deal. I still believe that. You can't convince me otherwise. They could have went with additional prospects and not give up the top guy and still got him. I don't think they wanted to do that.
No, because it would have required Peraza and Dominguez and probably Waldichuk and Pereira. Those are your four out of your top 10. They didn't want to do it. He walked away from it because of that.
Yeah, that's right.
All know that. And that's my problem with Brian Cashman. He still is just, even in a year where you put Luis Castillo on this team, you have a 1-2 punch that probably, and even as down as we were, I've been on Gerrit Cole this whole time, you're still putting Gerrit Cole and Luis Castillo as your 1-2 punch heading into fucking October. Nobody's going to, unless you're facing the Mets, who's matching that?
Yeah. And as Yo Elvis just says in here, the Dodgers called the top 5 prospect today. That's what the Dodgers do. The Dodgers always feel the best team on the field. Look, you can look at the Yankees at any point this year and go, you know what? They're still not playing their best team. You can make the argument all year and last year. We all said it. We're all here doing it. You can't sit there and convince me to go Gallo and Hicks should have been playing over Miguel Andujar, Esteban Florio all season. No way. No way. You mean to tell me the rest of this season, Peraza should still be in AAA and not at this level? Clark Schmidt should be in AAA and not starting? Come on. They're not playing their best team. And I can't sit there and go, you know what? This team really wants to win. Because to me, that's fucking dumb. That's dumb. You're not putting your best team on the field. It's that simple.
So we'll wrap up the show here. I ran a poll yesterday. We said grade the Yankees trade deadline, give Brian Cashman a grade for his trade deadline. 4% people gave D/F. 14% of people gave a C. 26% gave it an A. And then the overwhelming favor was 56% gave it a B.
Yeah, I agree.
I'd give it a solid B. Man, I know
if they got that other starting pitcher, it's an A. It's an
no,
A.
No, they got
me.
The other starting pitcher, it's an A. If they don't trade Monty, it might have even been an A.
Yeah, because I think, I can see that. I can see that. I can see that too.
Even doing everything they did, but getting Castillo instead of Montas, it might have been an A.
You know, and people might, and I probably should have brought this up a little bit earlier, but I'll be honest with you guys, and I know there's going to be people here that's like, Pete, come on, man. I don't really give a poot about giving up Monty, to be quite honest. And I know everybody says replace him. I think Clark Schmidt could replace him. I don't dislike Jordan Montgomery. I don't. But I feel like, personally, if the Yankees were entering the season making this move, I'd be like, ah. If the Yankees were 4 games up in the division, I might be like, ah, I don't know. With the lead the Yankees have, I'm not overly upset that they didn't replace somebody else because I think Clark Schmidt can do that if they give him the fucking shot. So I'm not too upset. It does take my grade to an A to a B, though, as you guys know, because I gave them an A early. And I said if they get this thing that I was told and they pull it off, it's an A+. But I did drop it to a B for that reason, But I'm not too overly upset to give up Monty. That's why I said I want to give it a week. Because Clark Schmidt needs to be up. Clark Schmidt needs to be up taking that ball every 5 days.
I think a lot of what I think also a lot of the Monty feeling is that it's the last thing that they did. If this had happened in the middle of all the fucking frenzy.
Oh, yeah.
I think people – and I think also people were waiting for something else to happen. And it it didn't happen. No, and it's not – and if you were telling me Clark Schmidt was getting the job right away, it might have changed the opinion of it. But he's not. He's got to be built up to give you 4 or 5 innings. And right now people just don't want to see fucking Domingo Germán take the ball every fifth day, and he's going to have to
And
now.
That's the thing that pisses me off about Brian Cashman. I mean, it would be much easier if he had that press conference. And you guys know, we've put a lot on getting Clark Schmidt healthy all these years, and he's finally doing it this year. We really want to give him a shot. We want to give him a shot, and we want him to play baseball. But I'll make this prediction right now, and I might be wrong. I think people are going to be very excited for Harrison Bader when he's actually playing every day.
And if he's healthy, he's a starting center fielder in the postseason. I don't want to see fucking Aaron Hicks.
Oh no, he has to be. And I think people are going to really be surprised that you're going to like this guy the way he plays baseball. He's from New York too. I know it doesn't necessarily mean shit based on production, but I've actually seen a lot of Harrison Bader, and I think he's much better than what people think. Most people probably said, "Hey, they got a fourth outfielder." Nah. He's not that guy, guys. Trust me. I think he's going to be much better than people think. And I think maybe, you know, there might have been a little bit there with Monty that maybe he was a little overvalued, to be honest.
Overvalued. I want to read a couple of comments and then we'll wrap up the show. But before I do that, I want to pick your brain on this, right? Do you think the Yankees soured on him a little bit with his attitude? The last couple of times?
I don't know if it was. I tell you who soured on him. I fucking did. Calling his games was a nightmare. I mean, the guy takes all day. All fucking day. I kept saying in my head, I can't wait the next year until he got the pitch clock because I think he's gonna be better. But I'll say this about Monty. And I always said this, so I'm not gonna bounce off this. Jordan Montgomery is a guy that if you watched him every day, but you didn't know his stats, when you said if somebody came to you go, what is his numbers this year? You'd say, what is he, like a 4.15 guy, 4.20 ERA and you know, he's what, decent back-end guy. And then somebody goes, ERA's 320. There'd be no fucking way. There's no fucking way his ERA's 320. There's no way. He's just one of those crafty pitchers. But I don't feel like the Yankees are really losing much getting rid of Monty. Would I want a starter? Yes. Would I be upset if they keep going Herman? Hell yes. But if Clark Schmidt gets that ball and he's the guy getting it every 5 days and we see what he is for next year, I'm more than okay with that deal.
No, I don't think losing Jordan Montgomery should make you feel more negative towards their chances.
I mean, the way Yankee fans are reacting, I remember seeing there was people crying about it. I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
Well, Jameson Taillon's fucking crying about it.
He was crying. I was going to his wedding. I mean, I can't believe it.
I was at his wedding. Shut the fuck up. We make coffee together.
Garrett Cole said, he's just an unbelievable talent. I'm going to really miss him.
Reason why you suck fucking?
He should have said that. He should have said, well, you know, we got rid of Monty and it fucked it up for me.
All right, so we'll just read three comments real quick. We'll start with at time is Vilmatic. He says, with the return teams were getting for decent starting pitching, I'm not sure the Yankees ended up with a guy who's been battling foot issues all year. Not saying Bader is a bad pickup. I just think St. Louis should have paid more for Montgomery.
Yeah, we don't know what the player to be named later is, too. I know it's not going to be anything too sexy, but it could be a better they got two guys back from and money, I believe. So, nah, we got to see who Bader is. We got to see Bader daily. I think he's the starting center fielder next year also, by the way.
Well, you know, if I don't have to watch fucking Aaron Hicks be a starting player for this team anymore, it's worth it.
Now, if Bader comes here and he's riding the bench, then you're going to have a real fucking problem with this
team.
Well,
smarter Yankees, Pete. We always say that, right?
I mean, yeah, so we'll see.
Joey Cobani says, Benny, Montas, Efros, Trevino, all great moves. Really baffled by the Monty move. Yeah. Fine with moving him, but not for the return we got. Keeping IKF and Donaldson in place with the Monty trade makes it a B for me.
But see that, and again, that's my thing is that the Yankees have guys in a minor league system where you don't got to keep IKF and Donaldson in place. But will they make that move? I don't think so. Unfortunately, I don't think they will. And that's the problem with this team.
Now, last one here from Josh Egan. He says he undid his success because he didn't improve the starting pitching the way he should have. He acquired a 2 and traded it a 3. It went from an A to a C. I think you're overrating Monty just a little bit there.
Yeah, definitely. But, Yankee fans overrate players all the time. Monty's good, don't get me wrong. But, again, trust me, I'd be the number – if I really felt Monty was going to make a huge difference in the remainder of the season – I'd be bitching and moaning. Trust me, I don't think he does.
No, because I said this, and I believe it to be true. I think this is a move for October in the sense that the Yankees didn't have plans for Montgomery to take the ball in October, and he's not the kind of guy that's going to come out of the bullpen. So he probably wasn't going to be on any roster
unless there was
an injury. And you know, if Bader's healthy, Bader is going to – he should play over Aaron Hicks. He should be a starting center fielder in the postseason.
And the Yankees are never going to re-sign Jordan Montgomery. Let's be honest. That was not something, I think, in the plans.
All right, so this was a very long show, well over 2 hours now. We want to thank everybody that's been in the chat and everybody that's going to listen on Apple podcasts in the coming days when Chris gets home. This will be posted. So we want to thank everybody. I want to thank Pete for sitting in so you didn't have to just listen to me ramble on for an hour or so, whatever.
No, this was fun, man. I'm shocked we went 2 hours. It didn't feel like it.
Yeah, no, it flew by, man. I just looked at the my phone and it was after 10:30 already.
Awesome viewership today, guys, too. I mean, we've had well over 200 almost the whole time in here, so almost 150 likes on the live, so appreciate it.
So I want to thank everybody for your continued support of the NYYST podcast and NYY News TV as a whole, man. We're rapidly approaching that 10K subscriber plateau that we were looking at. I mean, you're getting to the type of analysis, but not only analysis, but news that you're not getting anywhere else, man. Like, this is not me just hyping up my show and our channel. It's where it's at right now. Like, you know, you can go and listen to corporate Disney World, or you can get what real fans are saying and what real fans are fucking thinking. And on top of that, I have a guy here in Pete that, he's got his ear to the fucking ground and he knows what's happening behind the scenes. So, I mean, you can make the decisions for yourself. And I think, honestly, if I was a fan looking for a podcast to listen to, or a station or a network that's in tune with the Yankees and what fans really want to hear, it's NYY News TV. So, continue. We appreciate your continued support. Follow us on Twitter at NYYST_podcast. Chris will be back from vacation. So Chris and I will be back together next week. We'll tweet out the exact time and everything. We have to work all that out, but we'll be back. And thanks for Pete for sitting in. So again, thank you very much for listening and watching episode 292 of the NYYST podcast. Pete, thank you.
No problem, man.
And we'll see you next time. I'll say it for him. Peace.